shoulders. A, B, C, D.
Blog Talk Radio.
National Liberty Alliance and Blog Talk Radio for our Monday night call. Today is Monday, February 24th, 2014. Got a lot of activities going on over the past week, so I guess I'll start off with talking about some of the things. Well, first of all, I guess the first thing we should do is go over to our news page. You know, I know last week we had spoken about that we had posted up a paper. We had gotten a response by one of the counties. It was Broome County answered the memo. And I don't know, it was a very strange answer because we weren't asking them to file anything, but they were telling us that they weren't going to file anything. And it was a memo. But in any event, we did post that. We suggested people might want to call up and question them about that. Now, we had, listen, I think I got this from Gerard. There was a program out there, and it was put out by American Underground Network. I guess they got some kind of a radio program going on out there. And they had a guy on who was very sophisticated in computers, and he had a pretty interesting story to tell. And he was speaking about the NDAA's plan to shut down communications and what you can do to prevent that from happening to you. So he had some interesting ideas. We're kind of researching what he had to say. And people might want to get out there and listen to this audio because when they start shutting us down, they're not going to shut down the Internet. Matter of fact, this guy was talking about that they had hired thousands of people. I think he used a million, but I don't know. Thousands of people, I guess, worldwide. And to
NSA, a million people.
A million people?
A million people the NSA hired to monitor calls and things in the Internet.
Okay, so they're going to be out there disrupting people who they feel are their enemies, and that, of course, is any decent human being on the planet. So, you know, you're going to want to protect yourself, and this guy definitely gives you a way to do that. You know, unfortunately, you have to spend a little money, but I don't think it's going to cost that much. We're going to talk about this in the near future. As a matter of fact, we may even try to get a hold of this guy and get some conversation with him and maybe even ask him to come onto our program for a half hour, an hour, talk to us to give us some solutions. But he does offer solutions. There's also a book that was available, which I did not post. I forgot I do have this book on how to do some of the things he's talking about. But it could get quite complicated for some people, but people who are computer savvy, they could do it. Many of us may need to go to, you know, some computer person and drop our computers off and give them $100, $150 and have them do it for us. But definitely worth the plan. I definitely believe we should be preparing for that kind of thing because they're not going to, it appears that they're not going to outright shut down the Internet. They're just going to disrupt everything we're doing, and they'll turn our computers into a brick, is the way this guy put it. So anybody who doesn't have a backup of their computer, whatever programs on their computer, you know, that they've been saving over the years, you're going to want to back them up. I've got many drives, and I've got five drives inside my computer, and only two of them are connected. The other three are disconnected. I go in there once in a while, plug them in, just so I can, you know, copy the other drives and get a nice clean, you know, copy of everything. And then I unplug them again. This way, if my computer ever gets fried, I got everything I need. So I suggest people to start thinking about this and definitely get out there and listen to this MP3. I think it's almost 2 hours long, about an hour and 45 minutes or something like that. And in the very beginning, it's a little boring, maybe, if I recall, but not far into it, it starts to get real interesting. The other thing, we did get a call from the press down in South Carolina, and that phone call with that individual, I was recorded, and we posted it, And it was posted February 20th to 2014. So anybody who wants to listen to that, it wasn't very long, I think 15 minutes or so. For those people who are going to talk to the press, definitely you should be listening to these things to get an idea on how to talk with them and how to handle them. Not that I know how to handle them very well, but to be perfectly honest with you, I'm just honest with them, and I'm straightforward. But I'm very careful in what I say at the same time, because they'll take anything and, you know, make a mole into a mountain. One of the other things, you know, nobody should go on TV. I've made the decision I'm not going on TV. Look, I'm on the grand jury right now that's active. You know, we're dealing with problems, and we should not be putting our faces on TV. And when we talk to the media, you know, we should just give them first names. Look, we're the grand jury. You know, we would have targets on us, so to speak, from people who are criminals. That's why the grand jury is secret. Names of the grand jury or the trial jury are never given out, ever. Okay, that's the protocol. That's the way it is. Why should we change that? Also, you know, I make the point to these people, I'm not the only leader. I'm just one of thousands of leaders. You know, I can tell you we have a huge, huge following on the Internet. We get a lot of hits. Our ranking is very good. Every day our ranking goes up, 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 up. Every single day. It never goes backward. It always goes up. And so we've got a very good ranking. We get a lot of visitors, a lot of page views. Some people spend a lot of time on our site, so our site has become very popular. We have about 2,000 people or so registered. I've got a personal list of people involved, well over 4,000. I happen to hear all the time people, you know, they didn't register, but they're with us, they're following us, they're doing things, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, they don't have access to the real, real good stuff, which requires you to be registered to get to. But nevertheless, the point is we are many, many thousands strong across the nation. This movement couldn't be stopped even if you try, even if you wanted to stop it. We got a lot of leaders that are coming up from different states and different places, people that have some prerequisitional requirements as far as understanding the procedure or even the commercial stuff or common law. Many people have a combination of both. Some of these people have abilities to talk. They're articulate. And they're able to deal with people. They're not intimidated by judges and so on. And they're able to talk to the press. So these people, you know, we'll get more and more as we go along. And we'll get better and better at it. If you can handle the press yourself, go talk to the press. If you're unsure about talking to the press, you know, pass it to someone else, or you can pass in my number and send them to me. I'll talk with them. Also, I decided not to pursue getting on to Glenn Beck or Alex Jones. We've had a little resistance there, and I don't know whether we're going to get on there anyway. Definitely our message is not a message that they want to get out into the airwaves. So if it comes, it comes, but I'm not pursuing it no more. I'm suggesting that everyone really let us pursue local news. Look it, we're grassroots. Why don't we stay grassroots? We get better control on the story going grassroots than we would be going national. You know, national is a dog-eat-dog thing, and let me tell you, you know, they really got a hold down on that. But a lot of these local news is, you know, if you can get a good conversation with people, get them to take a look on what we're really doing, and talk with them and ask them, you know, hey, just write a good story. Write the truth. That's all we want. And we may be able to get some good press out of this. I've also got some advice from someone who's been involved with a lot of press and said, hey, any press is good press. It doesn't really matter, good or bad. Your name's out there. And that's somewhat true. You know, because if they give them a BS story and talk bad about us, and as long as they know where to find us, they give us the give them the website, they're going to go out and take a look, and they're going to see totally different than what they're being told. And if they go to our news page and see what the news, some of these news people have been saying, and our response to them, and in some cases good for us anyway, they'll get a different point of view and hopefully join up. So let them get the word out to people that we need help building common law grand juries here across America. Now, I think we spoke a little bit about this last week. We started a campaign to communicate with Oath Keepers, and we just sent out our third letter to these people, memorandums, communique, letter, whatever you want to call it. And I think this is one of the most important things we could do. Once you're established in your state and you're stabilized and, you know, you get organized and you're talking and make some plans up and you get a good writer amongst yourself, start writing letters to these people and keep it focused, keep it on point. You know, look at the letters we wrote. Matter of fact, you can take our letters and literally just word for word, you change a few things. You know, if the word New York is there, you put your state. That's all. There's a few things you'll have to change in those things. But we really had sat down to think this out on, you know, we want to educate our sheriffs particularly. And so, like I said, a couple of weeks ago we started this. We sent out our first memorandum. You can see that on the website. It is posted Thursday, February 20th, 2014. It says, that's the second letter. Let me go back to the first letter. The first letter was posted, February 10th, 2014. It says, the first open letter to all New York oath takers, acting judicial gatekeepers, elected or appointed to secure the republic. And then there's the memorandum. You can click on it and open it up. Let me click on, I forget how many pages this was. Okay, but this is dated, like I said, February 10, 2014, and it was 12 pages. And we're really here doing this to introduce ourselves to them, to let them know who we are. You know, they could say all manner of lies they want against us and make up all the stories they want. But there's nothing like really getting it from straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And we start expressing who we are and what we think and what we're about. I think we're going to capture them, especially the sheriffs. I did get a call from a sheriff up in one of the counties, the sheriff's office, Franklin County, here in New York. It came from his secretary, not from him. His secretary made the call. And she was interested in confirming our mailing address. We went out and got a mailing address, a P.O. box, and, you know, we put our name on it, you know, with that we are the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury. And we've got a fax number, and we got a phone number. And so they can contact us. But anyway, this secretary for the sheriff's office called and wanted to confirm the address, and I confirmed it for them. And that's all she wanted, and she thanked me, and I thanked her for calling, and that was it. I don't know what they called about. She didn't offer. And being in business for many, many years, whenever anybody calls up to ask for that kind of information, we just give them the information. We're not going to do a litmus test on them or make them feel uncomfortable or anything like that. So I've learned that from a long time ago. If they want to tell me what they were calling for, they can tell me. If they don't, that's fine. So I gave them the information they wanted. And she said that the sheriff wanted to send us a letter. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's bad. I got to believe it's good, to be honest with you. We did not receive that letter yet. That was done on Friday. And I know the guy that is handling the mail down in Westchester County for us, he's away till I think Tuesday or Wednesday. So we might have gotten something we just don't know yet. So when we get it, we'll share it with everybody to see once what it is. But our letters are very patriotic, very focused, filled with a tremendous, tremendous amount of authorities, in contrast to the authorities that these people who are preventing us from coming in, you know, they have no authorities. As a matter of fact, if you ask them for the authorities, you'll hear crickets. That's their authorities, crickets. So, you know, I think the truth will shine through. So we sent the second letter out, okay? And again, this is a series of letters. We have a plan. The plan is to educate them on the Bill of Rights, to educate them on what liberty really is, to educate them on the meaning of a sovereign, to educate them on law. Now, we just did one. I think the last one we did was on law, and it makes it very clear. And I think that was the, well, we actually sent out a third one, and I think we covered the law in that one. I don't remember, but I have to go back. But these are the subject matters we want to cover. And one of the ones we did was we got a, I got a call from FoxNews.com on the Internet, and they wanted to do a story. They talked with me on the phone for about 10 or 15 minutes, 10, 12 minutes, whatever it was. It's recorded. It's up here. And it's listed as, let's see, February 20th, also 2000. A lot of things happened on February 20th, I guess, 2014. And what they told me was that the ADL, that's the Anti-Defamation League, was tracking me or tracking us. I don't remember if they said me or us, probably us. And, you know, I didn't pick up on it at first, but as the conversation went on, I said, oh, yeah, who's the ADL? And and he told me, and in any event, he told me that they had put out a press release and that, it, you know, that we should read it and respond to it. So he sent me a copy, and I read it, and I sat down over the weekend, and we hammered out a response to it. I guess it was a, it was just under, well, it's just over four pages, maybe, you know, or four and a half. It runs into the fifth page. And perfect opportunity. In my opinion, it was a perfect opportunity to answer questions that they provided for us by, you know, saying all manner of evil against us, and we responded. Of course, we responded in a nice way. I got to admit, we took a jab or two, you know. I like to get a little laugh when I write. And so we responded. And I sent a copy to the news, to Fox News. And I got a call back from him today. And he only had one or two other questions. So he said, I really don't have any other questions. He said, you pretty much covered, you know, a response to these people pretty complete. And I said, well, I hope it wasn't too much. He says, oh, no, I think it was just about right. I said, okay. He says, I got enough to write off, if he says. So if he's going to write off, unless he's going to make things up, he's not going to write anything bad because, hey, we responded to everything. And I'll tell you what, anybody who would have responded bad to this letter, presuming it's true, and of course we know it's true, the things we write, would be really anti-American. It's that simple. So I said to him that if he gets a chance to talk to these people, I'd love to know who it is that they got their information about us, that we were connected with all these crazy people that they said we were connected with. And I also asked them if they, you know, they'd want to talk, you know. They didn't want to do neither. And I also wondered if they were going to post our answer to their paper up on their line. I doubt they will. But that's okay, you know. We'll make our enemies our springboard or our footstool, as the Bible tells us. So I think these letters, what we did then is we took these two letters and we created another memorandum for the sheriffs. It was the perfect opportunity. Here's the ADL pouring out their poison, okay, and us responding with tremendous amounts of supporting data on who and what we are and what we believe and what the real law is. So really they gave us a great opportunity, and I probably should send them a thank you letter. But all that is up there, and people can read it. And people in other states, you guys got to get together as you start to develop, you know, and meet and talk and find a writer amongst you and maybe take the letters we've got. And again, you can just print them off exactly the way you are, make some changes. If anybody needs a copy of that stuff in Word, let me know and I'll give you a copy in Word. What I may do is I may put the Word copies over out on our jurist documents page so people have access to that. Okay, so the last was February 24th, which is today. We packaged all that up together. And we sent our third open letter to the New York Oath Takers. Now, the New York Oath Takers are all of the gatekeepers in justice. We have the county clerk, the court clerk, so we send it to all of them. We have the bailiffs, and we have the judges, so we send it to all of them. And we have the sheriffs, and we sent it to all of them. again, the most important ones to us is the sheriffs. I'd like to get the bailiffs on board, but I don't know if these people have any honor to be able to get it out to them. But I think there are people in there that with honor. I think that there are clerks in there that realize what's going on. We got that opinion when we toured the state, that they were kind of looking for a change. So we'll see what happens. One other thing, if you look on our website, we reached our matching goal. So I want to thank everybody for that. We did reach 100% of the $8,000 goal that we were seeking. And that has really helped a lot. It's helped to pay for all of the costs that we used in order to, the monies we used in order to build the new website. It's also the overhead cost and all that. And most of the bills are pretty much paid up. We don't have all that many bills laying around at the moment, so we're kind of in good shape. And I want to thank all the people that have gone out there and put in for a monthly a donation of $5 or more. $5 really is not a lot. But again, if everybody put in $5, that's a lot of money. So, and that would really allow us to grow. We have a lot more we want to do on the website, but we need more money before we can do it. I'd like to make it a lot more interactive. It's pretty interactive now, but we can make it more interactive, more informative. So we have a lot of room to grow, and I got a lot of ideas, but once we start to develop a few more dollars, we'll do that. But anyway, we have bills every month, so I'm thankful for the people who have went out there and did the $5 a month or more. And I want to thank that there's some people out there that did $50 and even $100 a month, so I want to thank them also. But I'm a believer in the widow's mite. If you can afford $100 a month, God bless you, and, this is a good cause, I believe it is. And anybody who gives that kind of money, I think they agree too. But look at that, $5 coming from some people, that's a lot of money. I've been poor on and off throughout my life. I'm poor right now. But I've been up and I've been down, and I've even been homeless many years back with a young family, with children, young children. And I know how hard it is, and I know what $5 means if you're really broke. So for those who are really, on Social Security or anything like that, and they give out $5, that means a lot to me. Let's see. I've only got this from one source so far. Let me think, it was two. I think it was just one person who told me that they got some threatening calls. Now, the threatening calls was not a personal threat, but was a threat that we were going to go to jail, we're not doing things right, and so on and so forth. And I guess that person has been making calls to other people. I guess they have too much time on their hands. I don't know. But they made that call to many other people, I think in the Carolinas and possibly some other places. So they're utilizing our list in order to call people, to tell people, look, you guys are going to go to jail because you're doing what you're doing, and you're not getting rid of your driver's license. You're not being a sovereign citizen. You're not getting rid of your Social Security card or your voter's card, and so on and so on and so on and so on. Look it. We don't teach anything like that here. We're never going to teach anything like that here because we're free people, and all their words, they go with all these magic words. It's meaningless. The fiction is irrelevant to reality, totally irrelevant. I can tell you, I've listened to so many people make arguments, write cases, go into the court, do all kinds of things, and really just upset people, if anything, or people think they're crazy because they exercise all this language. But it doesn't do anything for them. It really fills the court up with arguments, and you never get down to the issues. We don't bother doing that. We just go into the court. We tell them we're one of the people. This is a court of record, operates according to common law, and then I make them confirm the jurisdiction. And as far as I'm concerned, a court case doesn't go anywhere until the judge confirms the jurisdiction. And if the judge refuses to confirm the jurisdiction, then you have to hold them to his silence. Silence is acquiesce. When he has a duty to speak, he needs to speak. So obviously he doesn't want to tell us what it is. But you have to establish jurisdiction. And that's in court. And of course you don't want to use words like citizen, because they play those games. I don't think it's that big a deal. You know, they're never going to get you and say, hey, look, pull out your wallet. Let me see your license. See that license? Well, you got that license and you checked the box that you were United States citizens. So we defrauded you way back then and you're stuck. We got you. You know, that's fraud. That's fraud. It's a hidden contract to begin with. It's a fraudulent contract. It's irrelevant. And the contract is trying to take our unalienable rights, which cannot be, you know, given away or sold or taken. I mean, rights are eternal. They're given by God. So we just don't play that game. These people, some of these people have been dogging us for almost a year, trying to get us to get involved in their system. Personally, I think they're setting us up. That's why, and I tell people, stay far away from this. They have, these people are involved with shadow government of some kind, where they have all these other people that they're electing for governors in the states, and they're going to elect their own president, and they want to get their own buildings, and they got to get their own courts. And look it, that's subversion, literally subversion. There is absolutely nothing wrong with our government here in our country. Nothing wrong with our government. The structure that is set up by the Constitution, I think, is fantastic, and the structure that we have, I think, is right on point. The problem is we have the enemies of liberty, progressives, who have taken control of the process and is abusing everything, and they're putting forth a lot of unconstitutional legislation, of course, creating all these unconstitutional agencies and different things, and all of that is wrong. But the core part of our government is still there. What they've done is they've come in and moved the corporation on top and taken control. They infiltrated like a parasite, like the parasites they are. They've taken control of the process and everything, and we're stuck. We're figuring out how are we going to get control back. You know, we've tried everything. Anybody that's been in the Liberty Parties for, you know, the past 8 years or so, starting with Ron Paul and some going back further, you know. I know We the People started in the 90s. I was involved in the very late 90s with We the People, so I've been involved that far back. But, you know, we know that there's a problem. And we've been trying to figure out, how do we, the people, get control of our country back? And, of course, now we know how, right here, working with common law grand juries, getting one started in your county and taking control of the court and, therefore, the political and judicial process by bringing it back to justice. Very simple. And everything gets, if you bring everything back to justice on the grassroots level, everything above it goes back to justice, too, and you've got a system that's fixed, and we just have to make sure it stays clean. It's that simple. So anyway, there are people that will tear down what we are doing. I don't get involved with the commercial stuff. I understand how some of it works. I don't have time to get involved, and I don't think it's the solution to our problem. There are people amongst us that have commercial lawsuits going on. They've done some homework. I know some of them know exactly what, you know, how this process works. I think some of them are also on dangerous footings, because if you make a mistake out there, they're going to put you in jail. I'll tell you right now, if you're going to mess around with these commercial liens and stuff, they're going to put you in jail if they can. They don't want you to be dabbling in their business. This is their business, and they've created this fiction for them. And they don't want you in there. So if you can get in there and work it, God bless you, but you better be careful and you better make sure you know how. I don't, you know, people can do whatever they want to do in their personal lives, but to come into National Liberty Alliance and to start teaching people to do commercial liens on judges, to start telling people they have to get rid of their driver's licenses and their birth certificates and they got to get rid of their bank accounts and they got to do all these things, this is not for them to do. This is an assault on what we are building. And if we allow and permit this to go forward, we're going to fall. It's that simple. And I really think they're trying to set us up. Those people have been set up. I think they're trying to infiltrate us to get us set up. Because, you know, they are, if you look at the definition of what they're doing, they are, they can be held as guilty of subversion. Now, I know in their hearts, they really, the people involved really are not really thinking that way or going that way, but that's what's happening. And National Liberty Alliance is not doing it. National Liberty Alliance is working within the original constitutional structure that is still in place in our government and judicial system as we speak. It's still there. The procedures and the processes has been the same for 200 years. It has not changed. It's still there. They are using it every day. They exercise it. It's never been broken until now. You see, they broke it for us because they don't want us to get in. Otherwise, our indictments would have went through. But our indictments will go through because there's a lot of different things we can do. We have a couple of different paths to take in the next couple of weeks here in New York. And I'm not sure which one it's going to be. Of course, it wouldn't be wise to lay those things out. We'd be letting the enemy know. And also, it's not my decision completely to make. I'm going to lay it out before the people of New York. We're going to have a private meeting. And I'm going to lay out the potential paths that we may have. And I'm going to tell them what I think is the best one, and I'll argue for that one. But it'll be the decision made by the whole, because that's the grand jury coming together to make a decision what they're going to do and how they're going to go forward, and we'll live with that. But we do have different things we can do. All I can tell you is watch what we're doing in New York, and when it's your turn, you can start utilizing all the things we've done. And bear in mind, if New York gets through soon, we will catapult every single state you know we can. We'll help catapult. You will be empowered by New York getting through. We have certain states that need rescue. A couple of those states might be Washington or Oregon. From talking to people out there and understanding, you know, how difficult things are and how powerful the Nisi Prius courts are out there. We also have a problem in Connecticut, which is next door to us. They only got 8 counties. And we're going out to Connecticut next month to help Connecticut to get all of their grand juries in order. And I think we're going to be able to help Connecticut get that done before the month is out, next month, which is March. So we'll help them get Connecticut moving. And then if we have to, we're going to rescue Connecticut. Now, I think I spoke a little bit about this last week. I've mentioned it from time to time, and I have not gotten to the details with the individual who told me about this, but I realized, you know, they're a partner with us. They're one of the 50 partners that signed on to the Constitution for the United States of America. So their contract affects us. If they keep their contract or break that contract, that affects us as New Yorkers and as New Jerseyans and Pennsylvanians and Texans and Californians and Arizonians. It affects all of us. So, therefore, it would be righteous for a state to help rescue another state and to enforce the Constitution in that state, seeing that that's what the people signed up for and that's what the people want. And it should be a reasonably easy battle because, remember, we're going up against the fiction. And the fiction has no authority. And also, the fiction is not flesh and blood. They can't be a plaintiff. A fiction can't sue flesh and blood. I mean, they do all day long because we let them get away with it. But they can't do that. You have to have the real person in court. It's people against people. You know, fiction cannot sue a reality. It's insane to think about that, and yet we let it go. So we need to be thinking and talking a little more about that. Anyway, some people, as I mentioned, we got phone calls. We got people who are hell-bent on disrupting us. I think we had a caller last week when we came to the end. I told him to call me, and I talked with him personally. But they were really not interested, I don't believe, in really getting answers and trying to figure things out and puzzle things together. They were just interested in disrupting, I think. And they never called me, but I understand that that's the same person who's been making the phone calls. I guess they recognize that person's voice. I don't know. So anyway, we are doing everything legal. That's why we're not in jail here in New York, and we will not be. We're talking to the sheriffs. We're boning them up on the Constitution. We're letting them know exactly who we are, what we're doing. We're giving them a blow-by-blow so that they know. We're correcting anything we can, any bad stories out there. We do the best we can to correct them. Some people suggested we should sue maybe the ADL or others. I don't want to get sidetracked. You know, on one hand, I'd love to go sue them, but I'm not going to get sidetracked. We need to stay focused. We'll deal with them later on. Actually, what we do, we'll deal with them and fix that problem. So we don't have to worry about vengeance. The last thing we want to do is worry about vengeance, getting even with people. That's not a godly way to be. Sometimes it's hard to push yourself not to go for the vengeance. And once you finally make that decision, I know as for me, I always feel better because I know I did the right decision. So we're not out for vengeance. We're not out for a witch hunt. We're just out to fix the problem, and hopefully the enemy will stop it, what they're doing, and work with us, or the enemy will end up in jail themselves, whatever it is that the people decide to do. You know, I can't speak for the people. I'm only one opinion, one person in a room, and, you know, we'll see what goes on. We had to. I did not do this, but I condoned it. Three people were removed from our registry over the weekend, and it happened out in California. And I'm very happy for the people who took the right approach to deal with these people, and to cut off the disease as soon as possible before it destroyed everything. It would have destroyed California. It would have destroyed New York. It would have destroyed everything we're doing because they're bringing this stuff in that we have nothing to do. We are on the mark in the process, the way the judicial system works in every single state of the union. And we'll continue to go down that judicial process, and we will win. The pressure will get onto these people. They are breaking the law, and when they start to break the law in the public, when the public starts to see what they're doing, believe me, the court of public opinion is going to press upon them so hard they will break, and we will get into the system. So it will happen. It's just a matter of time. It's not my timing. It's God's timing. I trust that it'll happen, and all we need to keep doing is the right thing. But people who are trying to take these things, these dreams, some people want to use the fiction to beat fiction. You know, you don't beat evil with evil. You beat evil with good. Some people want to take these... they got us chasing our tails with this license thing. It doesn't mean anything to me. And you know what? Any place you ever sign a piece of paper, if you want to really feel better about yourself in this area, whenever you go and file a paper anywheres, and it asks you, are you a U.S. citizen, just put the letter A after U.S. and check the box yes. I'm a United States of America citizen. Now, I think we went through this before, you know, United States of America is the states. United, little u, states, the United States of the continent, America. The Constitution, well, the definition of United States government is the government of, possessive, of the United States of America. Obviously, the government can't be possessive of itself. It's possessive of the United States. The Constitution is for the United States, which means the framework of our United States Constitution is where every state constitution starts. They don't get to add anything more. This is what's there. It's there. What they can do is build upon it, and stay within the criteria that were laid out within our nation. It was important for we to be a whole people together, a one people. And so we have the same form of government. We tweak our states a little different, but you cannot move from the base. And the base is the Constitution for the United States of America. Also the Bill of Rights. We have the Supremacy Clause that makes this crystal, crystal clear. Article 6. Clause 2, Supremacy Clause, very, very clear. We have in New York, we have New York Code that makes it clear. In New York, we have the New York Constitution that makes it clear. So you know, we have the same constitution, we have the same past, and these people have abused it, and that's the problem. There's nothing wrong with our government. It's the criminals, tyrants that have taken control, seized control of our government, and we the people need to get in there and take it back. So anyway, three people were removed. I was concerned that I was going to have to do that, because I don't want to get involved in other people's states. I don't want to make decisions for people. I don't want to tell people what to do. I don't want them to tell me what to do. And so states have to work that out. They got to pray for wisdom. They got to figure out who the enemy is amongst them and cut that disease off as quick as you can. Confront the people. Make sure you understand where they're coming from. Give them the chance to repent. Yeah, I was looking at that, but I decided that this is better. And yeah, so they're with you. You know, you don't have to throw people out. Don't go crazy. But if these people are bringing in things that are going to get you in trouble, things that take us away from our focus, you have to deal with it. And it's all the county leaders that get together to decide what they're going to do. So anyway, that was done in California. I am very thankful that it was done, that I didn't have to do it. And if you would ask me if I condone it, the answer is absolutely yes. But it's not my decision to make. But I'll tell you what, I think it was so serious. And if we have a situation like this again, what are you going to do? I have to do what I got to do. I think it was so serious that it would so disrupt and focus bad negative press where they can say, hey, look, you see right here, you see this is what they're doing. Look at these are the guys. Right there, and it connects to us, it's going to destroy what we're doing. We don't want no part of it. I think that's about all I have to share for right now. We're going to be meeting, like I said. One other big piece of news. We in New York now have 61 common law grand juries in 62 counties. We lack one county, just one county, and we're going out after it this week. We're going to be posting that information. We're going to be asking as many people as possible might want to come down to that, you know, in New York, that can reasonably get there. We're asking Jersey, people in Jersey, they may want to come over for that last county that we're going to constitute this coming Thursday at 7 p.m., in Richmond County, New York, that's Staten Island, right across the river from Jersey. Connecticut's not too far, so if the people of Connecticut want to come over and celebrate with us, so to speak, we're going to have dinner there in this place after the final event. And then, of course, we'll just head home. But it's going to be the 62nd Common Law Grand Jury of New York, which makes us a whole state. We will have now grand juries, the process, that is, in every county by the will of the people. And so that's a major goal we just hit. And now we got some things we're going to do that we've been waiting for that time to come before we make some big moves. And again, it's going to be up to the people of New York to do that. I'm going to be calling for a private meeting for all of the New York people. Anybody in New York can come. And to take make their opinion and to take their vote on which way we're going to go over the next couple of weeks. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it. So I'm going to open up the phone calls. Anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to dial in on our phone number. Our call-in number, the guest call-in number, well, let me see. No, it's not. What is the call-in number, Gerard? Do you know it? Let me see if I can find that. It's on our Monday Night Call page, so let me go there.
Yeah, I'll get it for you, Don.
Okay. All right, anybody wants to call in, they can call in. Oh, here it is, 323-784-9705. And so let's go and we'll start taking some calls. Gerard, do you have anything, or is there anything in the text chats that I need to respond to before I start taking calls?
No, text chat is good. I just wanted to tell people, if they hear your voice go off and they hear me, don't panic. It's just me trying to get their name in their state. I had somebody hang up on me. They said, what the hell is going on? And they hung up. So sometimes when I go into the
bathroom.
Well,
if I heard your voice on the other end of the line, I think I'd hang up too.
I hope they came back, but I just...
I mean, what do you think that loud click is?
What's that?
What do you think that loud click is every time you call me?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Anything else?
I just want to say, I think it's very funny that the Anti-Defamation League, is that's what they do. They defame people. The thing that they're supposed to be in business to prevent is what they actually go out and purvey. So that's
well,
what I got to
that's
say
why
they
that. Call themselves the anti. Oh, well, that would be anti. Okay, defamation. But anyway, anything else? All right, I guess we'll take our first.
Go ahead. Well,
I'll take our first caller here.
Joe in California waiting in queue.
Joe in California, you got the mic. You should be heard that you've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. Hey, the news on California, that's kind of odd because I'm in California. I don't know anything about that, but that's okay.
I don't think these people were very well knit into some of the leadership out there, which, by the way, you got a new state leader out there, so there's 3 years now. And they were really bringing people in, and then they were trying to win other people over. And I guess you just hadn't made contact with these people yet, but that's what was going on. I don't know that I want to talk much about it because I don't know a lot of the details, but I know enough to say that... I think we did the right thing.
Yeah, that's all fine with me. If it was me involved, then I would have used it as an example of how trial by jury works. I mean, I would have impaneled jurists, and I'd have published it on your webpage, and I would have said, this is how trial by jury works, and here's the victims, and here's the accused, and here's the evidence, and here's what we did. But I understand that in cases where there's the mercy of trying to keep someone who is presumed to be innocent is kept secret, the reasoning there is in case the trial works out that they're not found guilty, then they're not injured in any way by the jurists. So... whatever happened, that's fine with me. I'm just doing what I'm doing. And my question was, while I was listening, and I really think you ought to answer this thing with deliberation, because when I listen and I try to put my imaginary hat of somebody who hasn't, or myself, 25, 30 years ago, somebody who hasn't really what I call woke up yet, when I hear you speaking, it almost sounds as if I could imagine that you are one of these guys that are not doing the right thing. But I know different. So my question is, are you working effectively at defending the victims from the criminals who are perpetrating crimes under the color of law? Did I lose you? Hello?
Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hello? Yeah, John's still on here. I don't know what happened to him.
Okay, I had my mic muted. That's why. Sorry. I get phone calls from people, and a lot of people want me to help them with their case. They have this, or they have that, and you have the other thing. And I just haven't got the time. I mean, I'm so busy, and I got a lot of cases going already that I just can't keep up. But even with that all said, you know, I'll get a phone call from someone maybe whose children were taken away, and you get this horror story, and especially when they're young, and then I get myself involved, and I do what I can. And I do write cases for people. And I do get involved, and I continue to take on more cases. But look at that straw. I think the last straw to break the back is there. I don't know that I can take on any more. I am so filled, and yet still we're doing what we're doing nationally, and we're doing what we're doing in New York. You know, I've been running 24/7, literally, And I just take a nap from time to time, and I'm back to work almost literally. I get 5 or 6 hours sleep maybe, and I do what I have to do with my family, of course. But I'm doing this full time, and it's still not enough time. And I guess I overdone it recently because I've been ill since Christmas, and it eventually turned into pneumonia. And I'm just getting over the pneumonia. The past week has been a real rough week for me, but I'm a lot better, and I'm feeling good, and I'm breathing again. And so I'm just kind of doing what I can to stay in and take care of that. But, you know, you can't – there's so much evil going on out there. There's so many horror stories and heart-wrenching stories, and you just – nobody can keep up on this stuff. All we can do is rush to get what we need to get in place so people can get justice. If we can turn our courts back into the courts of justice, people can get relief. They can get restitution to some degree. Look at the people of the world, not just the people of America. There is not enough anything on the planet to pay restitution to the sufferings, the damages, the murders, the destruction that these people have done. It's just not enough there. You can't do it. So it's good enough to get our republic back, to have liberty replaced, and to get back on track again. And we'll do what we can for everybody. But absolutely, you know, that's what the grand jury is all about. Particularly for the down and the trodden that are being beat up and destroyed and abused, mostly by our own government. And it's not the government. Again, there's nothing wrong with our government. Our government is just an institution, and it's a structure. It's a process. It's a procedure. And we've got a good one. It's just that we have criminals running it. That's the problem. And you know, I am doing my best to educate these oath keepers, especially the sheriffs, so that they will see on their own what exactly the true law really is and what these people are doing, and to be able to discern good from evil. You know, when you have a sheriff who can't discern the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, and he or she has got to go and talk to an attorney, you have someone without discernment. And why are they without discernment? I think it was, first of all, their relationship may not be right with God. But the key thing to this thing, ultimately, is that they lack knowledge. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It'll never happen. It'll never be. And so what we could do, the best we can do for people who have serious problems, is to get out and do this job as quick as possible. Get your elections going. And again, you're coming together just saying, agreeing, yeah, we want a grand jury here in the county, and we're constituting it by agreeing to it and inviting people to show them what it's about. Get it done. I've said this a couple of weeks ago. I'll say it again. I can't think of one reason. Anybody in hearing my voice right now, anybody, whether you're listening to it on live right now, or you're getting it on a recording, anybody who's hearing my voice, if there is not a common law grand jury in your county right this minute, if it does not exist, and you want one, there's absolutely no reason why within the next 7 to 10 days you can't have one. So why don't you? Why don't you call other people in the counties next door that are doing this and work with those people, ask them for help, and get your program going there in your county? Constituting it is one thing. Filing it is another. You know, if you're not ready to file it, get it constituted, because when the time comes and the battle cry goes out, let's go do it, okay? Well, we're going to say, well, wait, stop. We got to go constitute our juries first. And no, hey, get ready now. Get ready for battle now. Get it done. Have the papers in the hand. Get the stamp. Seal it up. Put it in a file. Protect it. Plastic shield. And when 5 or 10 or 15 counties decide to go forward, pull it out of that file, go down, and get it filed. Go through the process. And it's a very simple process. Anybody that goes out onto our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, and once you're signed in, you go to the Juris tab, far right. You will not see that tab unless you're signed in. So you go to the Juris tab, and then you click on how to start a jury. And here is step-by-step instructions. One person some while back called it plug and play. So all it is plug and play. You got the three videos to play back to back. You got the paperwork, fill in the blanks. It shows you how to buy the stamp. You can buy the stamp right offline, right here, right now. And what is it, $43 or $45, whatever it was. You buy the seal. We bought it through Staples. You click the link, you go to the place, and you follow the instructions. We lay it out step by step, and in three to 4 or 5 days, you've got the seal delivered at your door. So I'd like to, for people who have not got grand juries in their counties, I'd like for them to tell me why they can't have one in the next 10 days. Anything else, Joe?
Actually, I was leading into your question with my question. But in order to get there, I have to first confirm that the answer was yes.
Yes.
And then in response to claims of authority, the next question, and it's dovetailed into the one previous, and it's going to lead into the answer to your question. Can you trace authority back to the source?
Absolutely. It goes right back to the people. The people are the source, ultimately. Ultimately, God is the source, of course. But God works in the hearts and minds of men, and it is to man that he gives this liberty, and it is to man who receives and exercises this liberty. And so it is man who takes it and creates government. And the direct source is right in the very beginning words of our creation of our nation, and that is in the Declaration of Independence, in the very first paragraph, I believe it was in, where Thomas Jefferson wrote, "We have government by the consent of the people," and the consent and there is nowhere you will find the consent of the people, except for where we're at right now. Which is in, there's a political and judicial, both of them are political to some degree. They're political because the process is political. But that's where it is, right here, the grand juries. And that's where we get to consent, yay or no. A government can arrest no one if the grand jury releases them. They have to go, look at, when someone gets arrested, you know, if it's an emergency situation, they arraign them, they put a bail. Look it. Someone wrote a bad check. You don't have to put them in jail. My goodness, you know. I mean, if there's a situation that has to be dealt with, and you could probably fix that without even getting to a trial, okay? But, you know, they put people in jail for all kinds of things. You know, only dangerous people, violent people, need to be maybe incarcerated right away and held for a short period of time until they get them before the grand jury, which might take a week. I don't know why it would take longer than a week to get to a grand jury. Something wrong if it takes that long. I would think that anyone that's in jail would be an emergency situation for the grand jury to be alerted to come to look. And it would start off with the investigative part of that process, the four individuals that are the investigative branch of the grand jury. And so, yes, it's traced directly back to the people. And the government the government can only request that someone be charged with something, and the people have to say yay or nay. The government can request that a person be found guilty or not, and the people will say yay or nay. And that's the will of the people. And if the people, through the process that is set up, you know, the grand jury and the investigative part of it, the administrators, if they see something wrong anywhere in government or in the judicial or the political realms, they get the opportunity to go up there and fix it. And if they don't fix it, and they bring it to the 25, and the 25 will indict, it'll fix it. Look it, they will obey the people once we get in place, and that's the authority, and everything could be traced back to the people. Now, they can't trace anything back anywhere. When you really go to what they're trying to do and you look at these arguments, I can show you how you could trace it right back to communism or Marxism or Nazism. It certainly is not liberty under the mind of God. And that's why they always come with credentials. They always come with credentials. I'm a professor of law. Well, big deal, you know. I'm an Esquire. I'm an attorney. So big deal. That's not an authority. That means nothing to me, absolutely nothing. Where does your authority come from? I've asked so many judges who have no clue where their authority comes from. Where's their authority? They can't answer that. They don't know. They don't even know what I'm talking about. That's how bad it is out there. So we know where our authority comes from. All right, I got to move on. We got a lot of callers on the line, Joe. Hopefully I got it all.
Yeah, that was actually very great. And if I can contact you again, it'll be along the lines of the bad news and possibly some good news. But
okay.
Thanks for the answering. That was a real good answer. Thanks.
I prefer the good news, by the way, okay?
Okay.
See you later. All right,
thanks,
let's go
Joe.
To the next. Thank you, Joe. Let's go to the next caller, Jesse Penn. You got the mic. Well, I'm trying to give you the mic. Let's see. There it goes. You're open. Go right ahead, Jess.
Hello, John. This is Jesse from PA. I just
how
wanted
you doing?
To. Good. How are you doing? I wanted
good,
to
thank
touch
you.
Things on a couple since it was Monday night. I've been talking with one county that I recently had an election for, and. Just to put it out there so everybody can hear, how much can a county who is a county organizer deviate from the scripted way of having an election and the affidavit and the declaration page? Because one of the recent elections I had here, the county organizer felt that he knew enough to deviate from the suggested form.
Right. Well, if you read very carefully through the form that we put together, what you will discover is we use the language of the Magna Carta and the Declaration of Independence in order to put that front page together. And if anyone can enhance on it, fine. If they're going to get into the language, trying to be careful with the certain words and we're trying to execute the flush of the soil, and that's not what we're about. We don't need that. We're going to a whole different realm. Remember, look at, I've come to a conclusion in my battles when I fight these people. When I confront these people, they're coming into my sandbox. I'm not going into their sandbox. They've had me in their sandbox way too many times, and they've beat me up and buried me, and you always lose. So I take them to my sandbox. So I'm not going to concern myself with certain language to put in there, but we use the language of the Magna Carta. We use the language of the Declaration of Independence in that first page, which is the Declaration page. So I don't know what it is that they'd want to change there. People can do what they please if that's what they want, but I would be very careful not to go, into strange language. The other thing is that the next four pages, the whole thing is five pages long. The next four pages is authorities, and I wouldn't take one bit out of it. I pack that with as many authorities as possible. And I've seen some people who have changed that and reduced a page or two out of that, and I think that's wrong. No, get the authorities in there. That's what we're all about. Lay it right out where the authorities come from. After that, we have three affidavits. You can change around a form of an affidavit, but an affidavit is an affidavit. I swear that this is what I saw and this is what I experienced, and then you sign it, and that's it. So three affidavits. We have a press release, which people can change around if they want, but a press release, most people use it, they just fill in the blanks, and you send it out to the newspapers. Okay, and what else do we have here? We have a file on demand. I don't know why anybody would want to change that. We have five codes particularly that lays out the law to the clerk that they must file, and I wouldn't take any of those off. On the one hand, I want to tell you, you're free to do whatever you want. But on the other hand, it's important that we stay uniform. And if you want to tweak things a little bit, fine. But if you start stripping away this stuff, before you know it, it becomes weak and it's not as powerful. We tried to make it as powerful as possible. But I'm willing to give some advice on some of the things if people change it. And when they change it, if they want to see what I think about it, I'll give them my thoughts if I think it's good or bad. But again, I don't get involved too much in what people are doing in their states, but I hope that people you know, look, let's just do what we got to do. The key thing is getting in there and getting where the rubber meets the road. Let's get 25 people working in that county. Let's get the 12 people working plus the two spare wheels in these trials that may be necessary. Let's get out there and let's start talking to these judges. Let's do the real business, you know. You know, our work isn't perfect, so I guess anything could be made better. So.
Well, specifically, not just modifying the paperwork, which we discussed earlier this week, but when I had the election, you know, I talked to them and told them that we want to try to do the honorable thing and we want to make sure that, you know, we're proceeding in that way because he has some other conflicting interests that could be conflicting. I think the gentleman is a very upstanding person, and I don't think he is a subversive or an infiltrator into a movement, but I think he has his own ideas and thinks that he has a handle on what needs to be done. And one thing that I was really concerned with is when we had the election, the people that voted, it was, you know, in favor. But when we went to go sign the affidavit, the one person that was going to sign backed out of it. So there was only his affidavit that he had. I didn't sign an affidavit because there wasn't enough people there once the other person backed out. And so it comes down that he only had two names on the declaration page and one affidavit. And he said, oh, that's good enough. We don't need anything more. And I was suggesting that we should have the reinstatement election again.
This is what I would do. You know, on the one hand, he's got a point. You know, it is, look at three affidavits, you know, at the mouths of two or three witnesses. Okay, that's what the Bible tells us. And two or three witnesses I heard recently claimed is equal to a, you know, when you have three witnesses, it's equal to a notary. But I use the three witnesses because it's a biblical thing. But if it ended up that only two people, that would suffice. If you get the opportunity to continue the vote, you know, look at when you're going to do another election and you have a few people from that county, maybe yourself or whatever, you can elect that one again and reconfirm it and look for witnesses and add. But if worse comes to worse, you could use what you got. But I would struggle real hard to get three witnesses. It could be the same three witnesses on the front page as it is on the affidavit. They don't have to be six different people. But if you can get six different people, it's better. And I wouldn't mess with the paperwork. But again, you know, pray for wisdom if you're going to do it, and do whatever you got to do.
I'm trying to follow the standard protocol just because it makes us uniform, and if once we have the wagon wheel that works, why do we want to change it? That's my point of view.
I agree 100% with you. Look at, we already spent the time creating it.
I just didn't want to be confrontational with him too much because he felt very strongly about what he was doing.
Well, once you ask him to give me a call, maybe we can chat about it. Maybe I can get some ideas from what he's doing and give him some thoughts and ideas and, you know. Tell him, give me a call.
Yeah. I'll try. I was hoping he was going to be on the call-in tonight, and maybe he will be. But I suggested that, you know, when we had our meeting, that he'd come to the Monday night call.
Right.
So, well, all right. Well, thank you. And I just wanted to say also that Lehigh County, we were having an issue where they returned the paperwork, but I talked to the Andrea Nagel, who is the criminal court clerk, and it's filed now. So Lehigh is actually filed within the courthouse.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
All right. And if you need to talk to me, give me a call.
Okay. We'll
do. Let's go to our next caller. 407-616. 407-616. You've been unmuted.
Yeah. I'm muted.
Yeah, you're there. You're here.
Hi, can you hear me? It's Mark.
Unmuted. How you doing, Mark?
I'm fine. You can hear me okay?
Yep.
Testing? Oh, okay, good. All right. I established a common law grand jury here in Florida, And my question was, is can we just walk up to when we want to file it, by the way, because we want to do it in mass, but can we just walk up to the clerk of courts and file it right there, or do you rather have it sent in by mail?
Yeah, we've already tested a lot of these things. We've changed things since we started because, you know, we wanted to do the most honorable things. That's what we wanted. But people are dead set on not letting us do the honorable things, and they seem to think that these people that work for government, that they need to tell us what to do and what we can do and what we can't do. So if you take it and file it, there's a good chance they'll reject it, and you can't prove that you've given it to them. But if you file it by mail, certified return slip, and then you can even do an affidavit if you want, swearing at what was in there, but usually that's not a problem anyway, then they can't refuse it. If they refuse it, first they prove they've got it, then they got to send it back. Now they got to deal with the file on demand, the codes that we wrote on the front page called the file on demand, which serves jail sentences for returning certain papers. Now, in this particular case, you know, they really are not required to, the county clerk is required to file. That's an absolute. The court clerk, and we're setting it there for a memorial, you know, it's a notice to all men. Hey, we got a common law grand jury in this county. The other thing is setting it with the court clerk. The purpose of that really is to serve notification that we have constituted a common law grand jury and we'll be coming in to talk to you soon. That's what that's for. And so ultimately, they don't have to file it, but we put a file on demand. We're telling them, and in New York, only one has sent it back. The rest of them are afraid, and rightly so, because they're not sure whether they have to file it or not. But they should file it for a memorial.
Okay. So to sum it up, you're saying do it by mail.
Absolutely. The certified return slip. You got the green card that comes back to you, and you'll have the certification with the numbers on the card and then on the mail, and you have the receipt, and you have proof that you send it to them.
Okay, well, I'm going to do it your way. You're the guy with experience. But the other part is, would we want to do a press release while we're filing it?
We were doing that. If you want to do that, you can do that. The press usually ignores us anyway. But, yeah, you can send a press release.
They won't ignore me because I have a no trespassing order on me for the courthouse.
Oh, okay.
Which is unconstitutional, so when I call up the news, they always love to run out. But lucky enough, in my county, there's three different places you can file instead of the main courthouse. There's two other clerk of courts. But isn't that ridiculous? Well, have a no trespassing order on a public piece of property.
Yeah, you should sue them. Listen, you know, these people are out of order. As far as the news is concerned, we need to get to the news as often as possible. Look, I truly believe the news we should be talking to is our local news, the newspapers.
Right.
You know, I think we should be sending letters to our – matter of fact, I'm going to get a campaign going here in New York. I'm going to talk to some people, see if they can, you know, do it. I haven't got the time to do it, but I can set it in motion. Whereas we can start educating the news media and sending them in memorandums and what we're all about and who we really are. You know, if we all got grassroots news coverage, if we all got it, we now have national news, don't we? And we can get rid of the network people who are nothing but the New World Order, you know, cronies. So let's do it local. I think we've been building grassroots. We're going forward grassroots. Why not get the news out grassroots? That's where my focus is now.
Well, that's where my idea was about instead of doing it by mail, I'm going to do it your way. You know, I'm a follower.
Right, the only reason we tell you to do it that way is because they're going to reject it. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And you don't want to give them the opportunity to reject it. I file papers which I know that they're going to reject for court papers. You go in, the clerk is already alerted. Don't take these papers, you know. Well, I send them in by certified mail with a file on demand. They never send them back. They get into the record.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm doing it your way. You're the guy with experience. Okay, well, that's great. That was my main, because we held our meeting, we established the common law grand jury, and now we're ready to file. This is in Florida, so I think we're going to wait a week while we get more counties together.
Yeah,
but
you guys
got to
figure out. You got to figure out what that number is. For us in New York, it was about 16. We had 16 counties. That's when we filed. And after that, you know, we just file. A lot of counties still have not filed, but we have them all constituted. Okay?
Yeah.
But they'll be filing as time goes on. That's not that important to us. The fact that we have 61 counties constituted, that's what's important to us. And by the end of this week coming, well, this week, by the end of this week, we will have 62. On Monday, you're going to hear from my lips, we have 62 common law grand juries in 62 New York counties.
Okay, well, that answered my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's go to our next caller here, 407. 391. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hey, hi, John. This is John in Florida.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing good. Doing good. I've got a question I'd like to get out before you answer it. I'm going to be having one of those multi-county elections going on this weekend. And
right.
Last week you said that if you have one of those and one of the counties that you invited doesn't show up, that the other
right.
people that did show up from the other counties can constitute that one county that didn't show up. So
absolutely.
I'm trying to figure out what is the exact procedure I would do to constitute that one county
okay.
that didn't show up.
Let me tell you
invited.
What we did. Let me tell you what we did. When we came together and we were doing this in groups now, because look, it's going to take a long time, and we're doing the honorable thing. We're still giving notice. We're coming into the neighborhood. We're swearing the affidavits and so on. Now, bear in mind, we are not 62 common law grand juries here in New York. We are not. We are one. We are one people and one grand jury and one trial jury. It comes out of the pool of the people. And so I can sit on a grand jury in any county. I can sit on a trial jury in any county because the boundaries is New York. It's not the county. We're all New Yorkers. We're from the same state. We have the same government. We're the same country. We're New Yorkers. And so you could sit anywhere. And remember, you know, what happens in the county next door, it affects you in your county if you're going to be looking for justice. You know, either you have justice or you don't have justice, and if you have problems, you have problems. So what we've done is we would go into a place and we would do four or five counties at a time in a certain central location, and we'd announce that in the beginning. We have invited people from all those counties. We'd list the counties out, and we made sure that we hit all the newspapers before we got there, and we made as many phone calls as we can before we, you know, to get as many people as we can there. And so we make the announcement that the purpose of this, today's meeting is ultimately to constitute four or five or whatever it is, common law grand juries in the counties of A, B, C, D, and E. And then I tell them, well, we're going to watch three short videos. It's less than 30 minutes collectively. One is on fiction, one is on liberty, and one is on the grand jury, after which we will take a vote by the showing of the hands for those who want to constitute a grand jury here in this county. So then you watch the videos. As soon as that video is over, I stand up immediately, and I say, okay, everyone here that is constituting the common law grand juries in the said counties, raise your hand. It's been unanimous. Okay, anybody against? Nobody raises their hands. Okay, we're done. Now at that point, we start signing papers. We get everybody going active on papers. We usually have at least one. You got to bring a notary with you, okay, because you got to get all these papers done there. So you bring a notary with you, and you get all the swearing going. If you can get two notaries, it's even better. And when you get all the paper together, we have each county put into envelopes, and then we look for someone that's going to carry the papers away in their counties. If we don't have anyone to take the county's papers, we may even have someone there but just doesn't want to take the papers. Well, often a person next door that has showed up in a county next door might take those papers and hold them in lure of finding someone. And so we've had that happen a lot. And if we didn't get anyone, then we would hold the papers and we would tell all the surrounding counties, look, find some leaders here, get some people, we'll pass the paperwork on to them so that they can take control of their counties. And that's how we do it. It's nothing, very difficult or complex. It's very simple. And that's how we've been moving through New York for the past 3 weeks now to try to get all these counties going. We also, we would do it on a Saturday. And you can stop in one place at 10 o'clock and move along a line. The next place you hit at 2 o'clock, and then you can hit another place at maybe 6 or 7 o'clock. Now, it is a long day, but you can hit three different locations or even four, depending on how far apart they are, and you can get, 12 counties, 14 counties done on a Saturday. And so you just have to plan it, organize it, do it. We've done the honorable thing. And remember, this is a Fifth Amendment right. Someone said to me, we don't even have to do all that. All we need is two people come together and decide, and we're it. And they're absolutely right. But what we're doing is we're doing the honorable thing. We're doing it openly. We're putting out into the newspapers. Look, they can't say we're a bunch of crazy people, two or three people trying to control the world. We're going out looking for the people, and we've done the right thing. So that's why we do it this way. And so it's honorable. And now, because it's a Fifth Amendment right, actually it's an unalienable right protected by the Fifth Amendment, because that is the case. You could have 100 people show up, 99 people can say, nah, we don't want that, and one person can say, I want that, I like that. Well, guess what? He's got it, or she's got it. Why? Because this is not a democracy, we're a republic, and you have an unalienable right, and because 99 people don't want to exercise their unalienable right, that one person who does have every right in the world to exercise it, so they can. So it's all really honorable, and the good thing about it is that whenever we do this, it's usually always unanimous. Once in a while, we get a troublemaker, okay? We had a problem once in New York, only one time, and he wasn't a troublemaker. He was just a person who couldn't make up their mind. I got to think about it some more, But that's fine.
Can I interrupt you for
one
second, though?
Yeah.
I guess I must have misstated my question because you're not answering it. I'm sorry. I'll try again. I know all that what you said, by the way. I know it 100% of it. My question is, the county that I invited did not arrive. How's the paperwork filled out? I guess that's what I should be asking. How do I fill out the paperwork for that county that did not arrive?
It's no different than any other county, and you get three witnesses.
Just other counties just fill in the signatures, and that's it?
Absolutely.
So I take that XYZ county that didn't show up, and other counties sign it for that county?
Other people from other counties sign it because what they're doing is bearing witness that the meeting was called together and it took place in a certain place at a certain time, and therefore it was constituted. Now, that paperwork at some point in the future will be handed off to the people of the county. And again, what you have to realize is that, look, in New York State, for instance, I can talk about New York because I live in New York, and New York, there is only one court, one New York State court. Only one. But we have 62 locations because we have 19 million plus people and we have 62 counties. So, and the whole country has done it this way with a few exceptions. They always have a common law court in every county. Now, there are a few states that do it different, but that's the way it works. And each one of those courts is really one and the same. It's still the New York Supreme Court. Same thing with the jury. It's the people. So it's 62 locations, 62 people administering and calling together people of those counties in order to sit on juries, but it's still one people in one state, one jury.
Okay. So make sure it's clear in my mind for this weekend. If
yes.
a county does not show up, the other counties can sign for that county.
The other people.
Yes or no?
Not the other county.
Other people
the
other
from people from whatever county they're from, as long as they're from your state. We're
right.
in New York. I can't have someone in Jersey come and
right.
sign a paper.
I
okay, but
that.
Yeah,
I
anybody.
That.
Yes, you
anybody
got
anybody can sign, from my state can sign for that county that they did not show up.
Right.
The paperwork.
That's right.
Okay.
And the vote was taken, and the people said yay, and now you got the paperwork,
right.
and you'll hand it off when time comes, when someone rises up and takes control
right.
of the administrative process in that county. You give them the paperwork.
Okay. Good. Good. Thank you.
Okay. So, that means we could do a lot, people. Let's get out there and get these counties going. Look at, when you really think about this, okay, right now, we have elected at this point in throughout the entire United States, we have 139 counties that have people that have reinstated common law grand juries in their counties, okay? We have 3,142 counties throughout the United States. We have over 2,000 people or about 2,000 people registered. We have thousands of more people that haven't registered and are coming to our website and is participating and even working with us, okay, doing things. And for whatever reason, they don't want to put their name down, mostly out of fear, unfortunately, because that's where we've come down to. People are afraid to do things. You know, we've had people who had their phone numbers up there and then have called me and asked me to remove them. And I believe most of those people have done that, not a lot, but some. And those people, I think, were frightened. They're frightened of retaliation. But we don't have time to fear. If we're going to get frightened, we're going to lose, and then you'll really have something to fear. Let's get going and let's frighten them.
You
again?
You mentioned something last week that if some of us get into trouble, that we will come to their aid.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we will write from New York whatever papers are necessary if there's a situation like that necessary. It is the key that we all work with each other. Look, we have a case coming up here in New York that is very important to one of the people that's amongst us, and we're going to put out the word throughout New York that people need to come to this court case. We need to let this judge know we're not screwing around. You better give this court case a common law procedure. Because we're the people and we mean business. And unless we're doing that with each other, we're going to fall. United we stand and divided we fall. So let's work together with each other. Let's learn the common law. And we have some brilliant people throughout this country. I'm telling you, I meet a lot of them all the time. I'm on the phones with people. I'm just overwhelmed by the knowledge that they have in certain areas that's so beneficial to what we are doing. Let those people rise up within your state and help lead in the legal areas here or in the procedural areas of the legal process, the common law. And you have people, lots of people amongst us that are professional organizers or professional leaders. You know, I myself was a manager. We've got a lot of managers amongst us. So let's let them do what they do best. They manage, you know. You know, whatever we got to do, we got to do. But there's no reason why we can't get, I can't think of one reason why we cannot have at least 1,000 elected common law grand juries. That's one-third of the country. 1,000 by the end of this next coming month. I can't think of one reason why. Not one.
They're not hard to do. They're very
no.
easy to do. I can't understand it myself.
Yeah, let's do it.
The elections are very easy to do.
Absolutely.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Okay, let me move to the next caller here. It's an unlisted number. I got a whole bunch of ones. You just must have been heard. You've just been unmuted. Go right ahead. What's your name?
Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. What's your first name?
John, and this is Irina.
Oh, how you doing, Irina?
Very bad, John. They just trying to... Today we got a bunch of papers from title company which took from our property title insurance. So they insisting that administrative judge will order that Judge Martin to rule on a case, meaning granting our land. And as soon as title is not there, Palmieri can just run and grab our deed and we will be on the street because mortgage company will demand... refinancing, and we are jobless. So that's
it. Try to call me during the week. I've been, let me see, tomorrow's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Try to call me maybe late morning, and we'll see what we could do. I've got your papers. I just have to find time. I've been sick, extremely sick the past week, and I've been doing what I can, but, you know, it is what it is. I'll see what I could do. Call me during the week. We'll discuss it. Anything else?
The Corey finally came, and we are together. We find a couple more people. But to be honest, I couldn't even think straight. I could have done much more, but because of that situation eating us, I wouldn't live on the street. I rather wouldn't live at all because I had it all. I was there. I know how it is, and I can't do it anymore.
Right. All right, well, look, let's talk tomorrow. And by the way, I'm going to be down your way Thursday if you can make it out to the island for the election of the final county here in New York. That's Staten Island. And I'll be posting that tonight or tomorrow morning on the websites, and I'll be blasting out to New Yorkers where that is going to be. And anybody, especially all the New York City county organizers down there, you should be out there working with Richmond County. They're part of your connection out there, the five boroughs, one of the five boroughs. Long Island should come out and support them too. Definitely everybody south of Albany, you know, Greene County, Columbia County, Sullivan County, Ulster County, Dutchess County, Orange County, Putnam County, Westchester County, Rockland County, all of you should be coming down to support and help us to get our last county done. And like I said, we're going to sit down and have dinner and a conversation afterwards as a little bit of a celebration. But if Jersey wants to come out and Connecticut wants to come out, by all means, join us. Call around now and start preparing. Get four or five people in a car, pull down, and let's do it. Let's support Richmond County, and let's make this an exciting moment. This is a great achievement, what we have done here in New York. This is a huge achievement. This is the dream we've been dreaming about all year. But it's been less. We did it in less than a year.
We will gladly do it. What it is? What date?
It's going to be Thursday. Thursday at 7 o'clock. It'll be posted,
Thursday.
And I'll be sending emails out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, June, but I will call you tomorrow morning because
call me tomorrow,
I'm
late
not going
morning.
To survive till end of the week.
Right.
I have to
call me
that.
Late morning. I got two papers I have to write with some people tomorrow morning, so call me late morning.
Like okay? 11:10 for what time?
11 o'clock is good, yeah.
11?
11 is good.
11 is good. Okay, thank you so much. And as soon as Corey came and other people we have very active, we are very happy to.
Well, tell Corey he should be out there too. Tell Corey
he
come on
be,
out.
He will be. He is now with me in very tight contact.
Right. No, tell him to come out to Richmond County. We're going to
celebrate. He will be. If we will come, we will bring him, of course. We will pick him up. And.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later,
mm-hmm.
Irina. Okay, 253-205. 253-205, you got the mic. 253-205.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. How you doing? I called in a couple
Good.
Weeks ago. I was going to ask you a quick question. You brought up these fringe elements about people, you know, with the signatures and the sovereignty and all that stuff. I know people in the court system, you know, through a close friend of mine, and of course they think, you know, they had this thing where the FBI came down and they had a talk on sovereign citizens, what they believe and
right.
they don't. And they had some people who were called Moors that were people of color from possibly Northern Africa, they claim, and they were trying to establish some kind of Moorish law contract with the courts. Of course, the courts are Roman civil law mixed with British common law, and they got the equity law tied in it.
That's right. You got it on the mark right there.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's really hard to untangle that mess because they just say, well, what the judge said, it's okay. And, if the lawyer won his case, then it's okay. And it seems like every time they come up with a decision, they have to go back, you know, a lawyer will go back to appeal cases and find the one that matches their situation. And say, well, we have the best appeal case. You know, this one matches up, and hopefully the judge will rule in our favor. So the term common law, and I've studied this for many years, it doesn't mean you can do what you want. It doesn't mean there has to be an injured party necessarily. It means stare decisis, which is something to do with the standing cases prior to the judge made a ruling and the ruling stood in the books.
Right, but why do we want to play in their sandbox? We don't
want
to play in their sandbox. It is them. It is them that have a contemptuous disregard of the law. It is not us. We believe
in
the law.
They bastardized everything. But I mean, I haven't seen anybody too successful. With a very few out there that's why I've almost gotten in trouble a few times. And I really do seek after the truth, whatever that is. But if 90% of the population says that cutting off heads and hands is okay, like my dad was in Saudi Arabia in the 50s when they did that in front of the soldiers. They made him look. I mean, then when you're over there, that's okay for them because that's what they're forced to do.
Well, it's not okay for them. That's disgusting. They're evil.
I know,
that's wrong. That's not godly.
Okay, military men were forced to watch that in the 50s, and the U.S. was told that they have to watch it if they're downtown in Saudi Arabia.
We have evil people running our nation. That's the unfortunate thing. And look, the people are not going to get this back until they step up and do it. And you look at, once we get the common law procedures, we won't have too much of these problems. But until then, there is a kind of a strategy, and every case is pretty much the same. It doesn't really change much. You have to know exactly who your enemy is. You have to know exactly what jurisdiction they think that they're sitting in, and the judge is your enemy. You know, I'm hearing feedback. Can you? Are we on speaker?
Yeah, hang on a sec. I'll take it off. Okay,
okay.
Good. Better?
Yeah, it's much better. Okay,
and
one of the things people have to realize is this. When you walk into a courtroom, before you walk into a courtroom, there are certain things you must do. You must know who you are. You must understand by what authority you speak. You must have the necessary ammunition to make that point on who you are. But the key thing is not so much that you make the point. The key thing is your attitude. Walking in there with an attitude, letting these people know, I know exactly who I am. I know who you are. I know what I'm doing. And I know what I'm going to do with you to fix you, to make you do the right thing. And that's the attitude you have to have when you walk in a courtroom. And and you have to understand that the office, all the officers of the court, whether they realize it or not, are in a conspiracy to hijack your court from a common law procedure to an EC Prius process. And when they move it, when I walk into a court and I show them I'm one of the people, I say, you did read my paperwork, Your Honor, did you not? It says I'm one of the people of New York. This is a court of record. We got all that, right?
And
on the second page... On the second page, it says right here that this is the proceed according to the common law. That's what a court of record is. We are now in a court, okay, that is proceeding according to an EC Prius process, statutory court, and that's not what I opened. So I think we have some confusion here. Can you tell me, Your Honor, what jurisdiction is it that we are in? You see, your court goes nowhere. This is my court. I am
and
the
they will
first
call
person
it their
to
court.
Speak
they'll,
to.
They will say their, yeah, they'll call it their court, too. They'll say,
this is my court.
They're calling,
I am the sovereign of this court. I am the plaintiff sovereign of this court. I am the one that brought this case in. I am the one that elected the jurisdiction that I'm going to be dealing with, and there's nobody in this court that can take that away. And and so, again, if you don't establish jurisdiction the first time you get into a courtroom, then you've given up to the Nisi Prius process, and they own you, and they're going to win. They're going to find you have no cause of action. They're going to find you no standing. They're going to throw you out. You're not going to win. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
Every
single time. They asked me date of birth, and I didn't answer it for this one guy, and he got real frustrated. I said, how do I know when I was born?
My date of birth is none of their business. Why would they even ask me that? I've never had that asked to me, I would never ask that.
Yes, exactly. They're trying to assume jurisdiction over the fiction they created.
Right. Well, again, it's all about jurisdiction. When you walk out of that courtroom and that judge, because that judge will do everything he or she can to not answer that question. They will not answer that question. Okay?
Walk away.
What does that tell me? That tells me they know.
They're pulling
that tells
a scam.
They do.
If they don't know, they'll get up and walk away. I've seen them walk off.
So when I finish in the courtroom or you finish in the courtroom, the bottom line, before you walk out of that courtroom, you know, you're objecting all the way through. Your Honor, I object to this entire procedure. The whole process is out of order. It is a Nisi Prius process. It has nothing to do with common law. We should never have been in here in the first place. You don't have the authority to make any ruling in this court. You're just the magistrate. You are not the tribunal. I have asked this court numerous times to state the nature of the jurisdiction, and it is your duty to speak, and you have not spoke, and therefore I got my answer. I am in an Nisi Prius court, and this court has been hijacked, and I have said over and over and over and over and over again, we are in a common law procedure going through court of record. And then you sit down, and that's it. You go home, and you do your business on paper, and you muzzle them. It's over. Now you move to the next judge.
Yeah, you basically have to make all your record on paper before you enter there. you got to get it all. Like, that's what I've seen in the past, anyway.
You give them a writ of error. You overrule them. You do a. You should have two witnesses with you. You got three affidavits of the crime that just took place. Every officer in that court was part of the conspiracy, from the judge to the bailiff to every single lawyer of that case. If there's three lawyers on the other side, and you got a judge and you got a bailiff, that's five people times $50,000 apiece for each unalienable right that they violated you on that particular day. And that's what you're suing for.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known a few people that have done well at that, but by and large, they ignore, run aground or do whatever they can to muddy the water.
They can't ignore that. Look, when you do that, when you walk into a town court, those people are really dumb, okay? And
yes, they are.
You open your court on top of their court. And they don't understand any of that. And when you sue them and muzzle them, they're going to continue because they don't know what to do. Well, no. If you're
going
to sue them, once you sue them in your court, you then move it over to the Supreme Court. In the case of New York, it's called the Supreme Court. So we move it over to the Supreme Court or the county court, whatever you call it. And that's the court of record for sure, or supposed to be for sure. And now they're no longer in their little town courthouse. That's done. That thing's over. And you do a habeas corpus for yourself or whoever's in there that you need to get out. And they got 3 days to answer. They got to answer to the Supreme Court. They'll call up the judge and try to get a judge in the Supreme Court and say, don't worry about it. I'll fix that. And then this judge will find that he's going to be giving us $50,000 apiece also with the other bailiffs and all the other lawyers that went along with this. You've got five lawyers and now going to be 10 because all those lawyers got to go get lawyers, and the people that they're representing, they got to get new lawyers, so they got to get their money back from the first lawyers, and you'll have 10 lawyers to the right side of you and a brand new judge on the desk who will say, I can't make any rulings today. I don't see any motions before the desk. We'll have to put this off for another day because they don't know what to do.
Right. Right, it seems to go in a circle for some reason.
Right. Well, look, you got to get established that you're a common law court, and once they realize you mean business, then they'll deal with you, and you could settle. I mean, who wants to go to court anyway? I'll settle.
Oh, exactly.
But it's going to be on my terms.
I've seen people since 1994 doing this. Back in Washington State, there was several hundred that went down to the Secretary of State and recorded themselves with a silver dollar as a real human being in Washington State Republic side, on the side of the Republic. And the Secretary of State took record of it, made record, and then they started freaking out. And then when I went down there a few years ago, they were like, oh, I can't talk to you. Secretary of State's assistant said, I can't speak to you. We're from different worlds. And I said, yeah, we are, aren't we? And then I finally got to talking to him, and I said, I need to see Mr. Sam Reed. And what he would do is he would swear you in as a state citizen under the state citizenship, you know. And but they got to where they'd run away from that because they were losing out on it. And he said, well, if you think he's not doing something he's supposed to do in his office, you can send it to the court and make it a writ of mandamus, and if he's not doing something that he's supposed to do. But they would not let me talk to him. And a friend of mine got him to swear in under the state, you know, under the state constitution.
These people do whatever they want to do. They change the rules midstream. They don't follow their own rules. They don't care. They're just criminals. And that's all they are. And you have to deal with them as the criminals that they are and hold their feet to the fire. When they understand you mean business, that's when you'll get some attention. And that's it. There's nothing else you could do. But look at those days, hopefully, are going to end soon. We don't have to deal with all this craziness once we get the courts back to order. So, all right, I better move on because we've got a lot of callers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. All right, 406-223. 406-223. You got the mic.
Is that me?
It sure is.
Hello?
What's your name? Yep.
Hey,
hello?
All right. Good to talk to you. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. First name and state.
Anthony. We're right here from West Virginia.
Okay.
Mercer County, West Virginia.
One
I
of my neighbors.
My... Say that?
One of my neighbors. A little south of me, but
oh,
one of my neighbors
right.
anyway.
We're not far. And today, in UPS came by and delivered my my little seal.
Right.
And we're going to have March 11th. We're going to have a public meeting and take a vote. That's Tuesday, March 11th at 7 o'clock here in Princeton, West Virginia. And
all
I'm
right.
talking with people in the Oath Keepers. I'm going to be to an Oath Keepers meeting on Saturday the 8th. We're going to meet up with them and explain what's going on. They know a little bit, but they need to know more. And we got things happening in West Virginia.
Great, great news. Okay. You know, and as you go forward, and it's great to look at that seal. It's a pretty seal that we put together, and we've got all these great symbols on it. And so get some good use out of it, you know?
That's the plan, and we'll keep you posted. Don't want to take up too much of your time. It's been a long evening, but I've been
mm-hmm.
hanging in there. Just the first phone call, and there's a lot of information here. I'm going to have to go back and listen to some of these other calls because there's a lot of good information that I probably need from them.
Right. Well, one of the key things for anybody that's really starting trying to bone up and catch up is click on that Jurist tab, which you will only see if you sign in, log in into our website, nationallibertyalliance.org.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Jurist tab and just click on it. And that page will give you instructions exactly what to do. And we have the Jurist orientation. Everybody should go through Jurist orientation. If you haven't been through it, you need to do it. We got a lot of stuff. Why we must act quickly. What our state plan is. That's a must read. If you got to know what the state plan is. If you don't know, go out here and read it. We have Jurist documents, and the Jurist documents are, a lot of them are written specifically for what we're doing, for instructional purposes. You know, we're free people. We can tweak everything and make things a little better and whatever we got to do, but generally speaking, we should all be doing the same thing. We have a Q&A out there with a lot of different recordings over the past months or whatever, clips of different questions and giving the answers. We have a step-by-step on one page how to start a jury. Okay, step-by-step. Okay, explains you in writing very simply. Huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've already been through that. I got my paperwork all ready, everything.
Great.
Talking to people in other counties, I've contacted other state leaders. You just appointed me the state leader a couple of weeks ago of West Virginia.
Great. Great, I remember
Michael
now,
Anthony,
yep.
Yeah, Michael Anthony was ill, and we just talked, and you made that move. So I'm working at it, and we got 55 counties to get done here, and so just working on it and hope to get them done in due time.
Every state should try their best to try to get their state done by June, the latest. We don't have much time, people, and I don't want to be beating a dead horse, but we don't have much time. So let's go. I still haven't heard a good reason yet. No one's come up with a good reason why they can't have a grand jury in the next 10 days in their county. Everybody, let's get out and do it. And state coordinators, let's get moving. Let's get moving. Let's get organizing. You're the whip of the state. You're the people that's got to make things work. You're the people that need to be pushing the other organizers, saying, how come we're not meeting every whatever? You meet right on the Internet. And by the way, I'm going to be testing out a new platform for communications for private meetings. I think it was called somethinghd.com, some meeting. Goodness, I got it written down somewhere. I'll get it. Once I test it out, I'll get the news out, and it's a good place. It should be a good place where people in a state can get together privately online and discuss whatever it is that they have to discuss. But let's get moving, get the state coordinators moving. We have about 12 states that still do not have a state coordinator. Those states are stagnant. They're not moving. They're not doing nothing. Let me repeat that. We have 12 states without state coordinators, and nothing is going on. We got people starting to pile up in those states, but nobody's doing anything. They have no direction. They have no whip. They have nobody to push them along and to make sure that you get meetings going together. Establish a state coordinator. Find a state coordinator. If you want to be a state coordinator and no one has stepped up in your state, just let me know. Give me a call. If you want to help and be another state coordinator with another state coordinator, call the state coordinator and tell them, hey, I'll help you with this side of the state, and I'll try to organize this with you. Whatever. Let's get our nation together here, people. I don't know why you don't have grand juries, you know, in your county yet. Don't know why. You know, established. So, all right, anything else?
No, that'll do it. Just wanted to keep you posted. West Virginia's moving, and I'll just keep in touch.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. You got my number if you need me.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that I do. Where's your
number? 845-233-6560.
6560. 845?
Correct. 845-233-6560.
Okay.
And try to keep communications on Monday nights, but if you really have to talk to me for something, give me a call. I'm hard to get sometimes, and sometimes I'm very easy to get.
I understand. I'm the same way. God bless. Thank you.
You too. Godspeed. Okay, we're going out to Pennsylvania, 717-405, Pennsylvania, 717-405.
Hello, John?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. My name is Jeff Smiles. I'm a county coordinator for Berks County. This evening, I sent out an email notice to a number of people on my list to include some very famous writers. One lady writes for the New York Times, asking them to go to the National Liberty Alliance website, listen to the program, promoting the website and the mission that you have established through the National Liberty Alliance. At about 8 p.m., I received an email from a rather famous writer who writes for the website newswithviews.com. Are you familiar with newswithviews.com, John?
I've heard of that. I don't know that I'm familiar, but I have heard News with Views, yes.
Okay, well, her first name is Devi. She's down in Texas. And she writes back to me claiming that National Liberty Alliance has pirated a book by Dr. Edwin Vieira called The Sword and Sovereignty, and that you have posted this book without his permission. She asked me to contact you. She claims that Dr. Vieira had written to you through email requesting that you remove his copyrighted work from the website.
Well, if we have something copyrighted, I'm looking for it right now. I never got a phone call from anyone. Anything that is up here is things that are on the Internet being given away for free, and most of it is beyond the copyright time period. You know, we push the law, and the law has been put out in PDF. There's a book that we push called Common Law by Brent Williams. Now, that's still in the copyright control. We have information on it and links over to, you know, someplace where people can purchase it, because obviously we can't put that on either. So what's the name of this book?
It's called The Sword and Sovereignty.
Okay, The
by
Sword
Dr. Edwin
and
Vieira.
Sovereignty.
And Sovereignty.
Okay, I'm looking for it. Let me make a note of it. If anybody knows where that's at, maybe they can tell me when I pick up their phone line, and we'll just delete it from our thing if it's there. The Sword and Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. Yeah, I forwarded a copy of her email to you, so you would have that for your records.
Will do. Fine. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the books we're at, and, oh, here it is, The Sword and Sovereignty. Let me open it up, see if it's a PDF. It is a PDF, 2,306 pages. I don't know where I got this from. Probably someone emailed it to me. Gerard, do you know where we got this book? All right, anyway, I'll delete the book. I have never read it. But this has probably been given to me by somebody who probably said, hey, great book, and, you know, post it up. So, but we'll take it down. Anything else?
No, I think that's about all, John. I just wanted to check in with you about that.
Okay.
I appreciate your attention.
Yes.
This matter.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay,
we'll go to, thank you. We'll go to the next caller. It's an unlisted number, a whole bunch of ones. Not that you would know, but you've been unmuted. Yep. Hello. Paige Turner there. Hello. Hello. Someone with an unlisted number, you've been unmuted. You should be hearing, I'm going to mute you. You should be hearing, you've been muted. And I'm going to unmute you now, and you should be hearing, you've been unmuted. Hello? Okay, next caller. 530-598. You got the mic. 598.
Hey, John, this is Kelly here. We've talked over the phone.
How you doing,
one
Kelly?
Time. Hey, I'm doing great. I'm calling from Northern California, the great state of Jefferson. Woohoo!
Okay.
You've heard about that.
I've heard about that.
It's several counties now. We're up to three voted to take a hike from Sacramento. But anyway, hey, I want to share with you some really good news. And by the way, I really appreciate what you're doing in the sense of educating people about the grand jury. I'm just really excited about what you're doing here for educational purposes as well. Anyway, I got some great news. There is a political party in this country. It's up and coming. The Republicans and Democrats are quite scared of this political party. They have passed resolutions in three of their state conventions. It's a resolution that supports a grand jury. And the resolution reads like this. We support grand juries investigating and indicting willful misconduct in office by public officers. It passed unanimously in California, then it went to Florida. It was virtually unanimous there, and Michigan as well has taken it. And the good news with this particular party, we got spring conventions coming up, and hopefully we'll get a lot more of this similar resolution passed. I'll say this resolution again because this is so exciting. We support grand juries investigating and indicting willful misconduct in office by public officers. By the way, do you know where that last part, where that phrase is from?
No, don't know.
The Missouri Constitution, Article 1, Section 19, it was the 1941 Constitution. You know, they had a con there in Missouri, but many people say that the Missouri Constitution is one of the best state constitutions. But in that part of the Missouri Constitution, it says, you know, that the power of the grand jury to investigate willful misconduct in office by public officers and to produce indictments in connection therewith shall never be suspended.
We have a phrase in the New York Constitution very similar to that, and I know that there was also a statement by Scalia. He was probably quoting something that was very similar to that, too. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, in the Arizona Chief Justice, Rebecca White Birch, has stated that the grand jury's job is to investigate willful misconduct in office by public officers. So there are people that got this figured out. It's really exciting. I'm paraphrasing the Missouri Constitution as well as the words of the Chief Justice of the Arizona Supreme Court. But it's exciting that, man, this knowledge has not completely disappeared. There's people that come across it, of course, like you, and we're getting it out of the public. So I just wanted to mention that. Oh, by the way, do you wonder what political party passed this resolution?
I'm listening.
Well, it's libertarians, actually.
Yeah,
and these
well,
people,
I'm not
these
I'm
people,
not surprised. That's for sure. So.
Well, they love the Constitution. It's pretty obvious. I mean, the Republicans, I don't think the Republicans would ever get this passed, nor would the
right.
Democrats. I mean,
well, look, at no political party is going to get any real work of the people done because it's too status quo to begin with. They're empowering themselves, and it's just a fight, a bickering. You know, look at George Washington told us all about it. If only we would have listened to our founding father, George Washington, we would have been so much better off. We wouldn't have these problems. So now it's time to go back and listen to what he had to say. Get rid of the darn parties. We don't need them. They do nothing but create division and havoc and destruction in the nation. And you'll lose your nation. You continue in political parties, you're going to lose your nation. So, you know, look at these, the Democratic Republic and the Republican parties, they should be working together just to find decent individuals to run for office, and that's all they should be doing. And they certainly, these committee men certainly should not be hanging signs for these people to get them elected. At best, they run the papers to get them on the ballot if they appear to be a decent person. But the only signs they should be hanging up is there's going to be the election on Wednesday at whatever day it is, so on and so forth. That's the only signs they should be putting up. They should not be supporting a candidate. That's for the people to decide, and we need to get rid of this politics and just stick with the political process and work things out the way it was meant to be. But, you know, it takes a mature people to come to that conclusion, and I hope we've come to that conclusion.
Well, what Tocqueville said in the 1800s about the two political parties, Tocqueville wrote, "There are men of principle in every party in America, but there is no party of principle."
Yeah, there you go.
1800s. Well, hey, I'm going to sign off here and let other people talk, but hopefully we can chat offline. But, yeah. I want to quote Latin for you. It's one of my mottos. Fiat justitia ruat coelum.
Meaning?
With, let justice be done, though the heavens fall.
Right. Have you, you've read the Latin on our seal? Have you seen that?
Oh, I've looked at some. But,
okay,
I'm wondering if you
can pronounce it. You know, it ultimately is natural law by the grace of God. I'd like to hear a proper pronunciation, and maybe I'll be able to mimic that. But anyway,
well, there's,
maybe
there's,
next time.
There's Latin converters on the internet, by the way.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I should look at that. So,
yeah.
Okay, let me take
our
next
caller.
I appreciate your time. Thank you. Okay, our next caller, 570-309. 570-309, you got the mic. You've been unmuted. 570-309. Hello,
570-309. Oh,
yes.
You were talking about the jurisdiction before. When you go into the court, I think that's the first thing you have to challenge, the jurisdiction.
Right.
And if they don't establish the jurisdiction, you have no business to go into their court.
That's right.
As soon as you cross that bar, you are in the District of Columbia. All these courts are Court of District of Columbia. And Title 18 United States Code, Section 202 mentioned it, that federal court, the district court, are the branch from the judiciary branch. At least judiciary branch will exercise the law if you push them, but the state law, there's no chance that they're going to go by the law. So at least time being, move to federal court and push them to be bounded by the judiciary branch and exercise the law. At least a federal district court has a little bit more decency than the state court.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to
tell
people.
Well, it is true.
Until
it is true what you're saying. You know, the federal judges, they play chess. The state judges, they're lucky if they can play checkers. And they do understand when you put their flesh on their line a lot quicker than the state judges. But, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, you have to whip one of them, so to speak, and really put them on the line and muzzle them by adding them to your defendants list before the next one starts to perk up to maybe I should read the papers before I go into this courtroom with these people. You see, because that's the problem. They're not even reading your papers, you know. They're coming in, they see a pro se or whatever you want to call that person. We don't call them pro se, but, you know, they see someone that they call a pro se, and they see the lawyer on the other side. They've already made their decision. Case is over. It's just a matter of how long they're going to allow this guy to soak his client. You know, maybe he can get 10 grand off of him before we make a deal or something, or whatever the case may be. And that's all. It's all about money. It's a wink, a nod, and a handshake. And I wish I didn't have to say that over and over again, but that's what it is.
It was interesting that the they tried to plea bargain with my traffic court case, and that was federal court, and I was pulled into the federal court because they said it's federal land. Then the law says the federal land on a national park state shall exercise the civil and criminal court case. So I basically told them, where am I, why am I in federal court? So I basically told them that I only go by law. And they basically told me that, why do you think I haven't violated the law? So I basically said, I go by the Supreme Court ruling, and Supreme Court judges made the rules, and that is the law, because it's a Supreme Court ruling, and everything has to be Supreme law of land. So then he tried to plea bargain, and I said, look, we the people actually could become a private attorney general, and we could actually persecute anyone who actually violate the rights. And I said, I could come in as a private attorney general. And then the U.S. attorney says, who are you prosecuting? I said, anyone who is violating my rights. And right. he goes, okay, then we shall go by law, right? And he said, I shall respond to your paperwork. And mm-hmm. then I said, yes, so you better establish a jurisdiction. Then I will cross that bar. And he said, okay, we'll do that.
mm-hmm.
That was pretty interesting.
Right. But you do have a good chance in state court if you know how to muzzle the judge and you do it. You'll get it.
It
just takes time, so...
Yeah, I actually do that. All the cases, I actually come in and say, I haven't schooled in law, and all I know is I know how to create an affidavit or declaration, and you have to rebut it. So I gave a notice to the court that here I come with my declaration, and the other party has to rebut it, otherwise it will go into default. So that's mm-hmm. it. I put it in, and I wait. I give them 20 days. And then certainly attorney, they do wait, and then they default.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to announce the default at the end. So that
right.
is the common law. And even though we are running on the Admiralty and Maritime, under the Savings of Suitors Clause, Title 28, Section 1333, actually they do give a common law, and they want you to come in with the affidavit. And you demand upon the default, you get a judgment. So you just have to command the court what you want.
Well, that's the key thing. Like I said, you have to understand who you're doing battle with. You have to understand the judge, where he's coming from. You have to understand the opponents and where they're coming from. And you have to understand yourself and where you're coming from and what jurisdiction is in the mind of all of those people, including yourself. And you got to figure out how you're going to get everyone into your jurisdiction. And you could do that, of course, because you have unalienable rights that require them to come into your jurisdiction. And they can play all their, with all their little ships and everything out at sea and put all those bars up, but they really don't mean anything to us because it's all a fraud. And a fraud is a fraud.
So if you want to move in
no matter how
you go. Common law, if you want to move on a common law in these courts, you just have to invoke that you announce that you will be moving with the affidavits, and then you move with the writs, so you file writs, you tell them what to do.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And you got to make them acknowledge that fact. And if they don't acknowledge it, then you can acknowledge them for them because they had a duty to speak and they didn't speak, so you can acknowledge it for them. And then go forward. You know, it's a shame we got to go through all this insanity. This is insanity that we go through, total insanity. And we need to change this. Let's go get your counties done here, everybody. We got to change
and
this.
And also, actually, when I was looking at the Black's Law Dictionary about the writs, I kind of picked the ones that fits to me, and it says... if I feel like they're going to either arrest me or they're going to not protecting my property or my person, whatever, then it says a writ of a protection is the basically right writ. So I basically wrote it as writ of protection, and I asked mm-hmm. the court that has to answer the declaration, and meanwhile, give me a protection here.
mm-hmm.
So that's what I did.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
So, yeah, the whole
else?
Bunch of writs, so you just have to study and see which one you want to file.
That's right. That's the key.
Yeah, Reed is the one that you move the clock. You are demanding the clock what to do, because the clock is the key, very, very important person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not too sure I know what that is. What is a clock?
The clock. The
oh, the clerk.
Yes.
Right, the clerk will try to keep
it
out.
Order. Yeah, right. Reed means you're giving an order to the court.
Right.
So you are the sovereign. You give the order to the court.
Right. And the clerk will try to stop that from going through by order of the judge. So there's always a little battle there. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Gerard, is there anybody out in the text chats that got anything, any questions or something? Gerard?
Give me a minute to unmute my mic, John.
Well, I gave you a few seconds. Come on.
Oh, there's lots of questions, but I don't know how you could get to them all.
Well, give me some. Well, you're kind of collecting some. Let me just make a point that we started to talk about earlier, and I wanted to read something. And this is very important. And look at... You don't have to write this down. It is up on the website. It's National Liberty Alliance's answer to the ADL press release. You'll find it on the breaking news. And it's on page 2. And I just would like to read this because this is so important. You know, these people, I'm going to read a paragraph and a couple of paragraphs. And this is in response to them. You know, they claim that we have contempt for the law and we're disobedient to the law. We don't believe the law is real and we don't have to obey it and so on and so forth. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We have nothing but desire of the law. We want the law. It's their silly statutes, which is no law at all. And so it is them that have contentious disregard for the law. And we wrote here, the Constitution for the United States of America is the law of the land. And it is the bar attorneys and judges that have disdain for the law. Bar schools teach statutes as law, and that common law has been abrogated by the legislators and the court, which the United States Supreme Court calls lawless violence. They said no judicial process, whatever form it may assume, can have any lawful authority outside of the limits of the jurisdiction of the court or judges or the judge by whom it is issued. And an attempt to enforce it beyond these boundaries is nothing less than lawless violence. And that was the case, Abelman versus Booth. We went on to say, our U.S. Constitution for the United States of America, Article 3, Section 2, the Bill of Rights, 5th, 7th Amendment, and the New York Constitution, Article 6B, all agree that the law of the land is common law, as expressed by the Supremacy Clause, U.S. Constitution, Article 6, Clause 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all the treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. This clause has been supported by a mountain of U.S. Supreme Court rulings. Following are a few monumental cases which make clear the meaning. Miranda versus Arizona. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. So they can't abrogate anything. Mulberry versus Madison. All laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Hoke versus Henderson. That statute which would deprive a citizen of the rights of a person or property without a regular trial according to the course and usage of common law would not be the law of the land. Now, how these people can go around and tell us that the law of the land is not the law of the land, when everything we have that's American tells us what the law of the land is. Again, it is the bar attorney, it is the bar judges that are contemptuous and hold a disregard of the law. And we have to hold their feet to them. And when people understand that, this is power. This is what you need to bring into a courtroom. This is your argument. They need to get into the jurisdiction that you deserve that as a free individual, as someone that has liberty, as an American. Okay. Anything out there, Gerard?
No, the only thing that came up, and I think you answered most of the questions that were in there with some of that you just went through. You know, you had said one time that there's nothing wrong with America. We just have to get back to, you know, running the way it used to be. And somebody took offense to that, saying that there's nothing wrong with America. You know, if there's nothing wrong with America, then why do we need the common law grand juries? Obviously, when you said there's nothing wrong with America, you weren't talking about the corporate America and the Federal Reserve and all that stuff they snuck in. You're talking about the America as it was in its original intent was meant to be. There's people
right
out there that say, oh, the Constitution doesn't work. Look at the country's all screwed up. No, the Constitution works. They're not following it. We don't need a constitutional convention to put in a new Constitution. We just need to dust off the old one and stick by its parameters. Our forefathers went through everything we're going through today. They had a Patriot Act. They were black-bagged. All this stuff has happened in the past, and they want to tell us that we're too technically advanced and all that, that our forefathers had no idea what it was like to be living today. They absolutely did. The only difference between them and us is they had more time to think because they weren't as rushed as we are. You know, when something happened, it took a couple of weeks for the news. Today it's instantaneous, and that's really a detriment for us because we have to act so much quicker. But anyway, obviously John wasn't saying there's nothing wrong with America. It's obvious that we wouldn't be here if there was nothing wrong with America. So let's not belabor that little point because I think you're just trying to make an issue where there is none. Anyway, that's about it.
Yeah, let me read a paragraph that we, again, this was in the same paper that we wrote in answer to the ADL, was it? The ADL. This is just one paragraph. And it responds to the fact, let me read what, in a nutshell, these people said. These people said that the people of the common law grand juries are an extreme anti-government scheme of vigilante disciples emanating from the subversive sovereign citizens movement with a contemptuous disregard of the law and who claim all established government institutions as illegitimate with the intent to harass government officials by creating a fictitious judicial or governmental entities led by a guru. And I guess they were talking about, well, they did name me, so they were talking about me. And I'm not a leader. I'm lucky to lead myself. You know, we all have to lead ourselves. We all have to do the right thing. And every people in every county, they have to figure out their problems, and that's self-rule. But we responded to that, and part of one of the responses in one of the paragraphs we wrote was, we are not associated with, nor do we have knowledge of, the sovereign citizens movement. We believe in the government described in the Constitution for the United States of America, small u, and we believe that government structure, that government structure is still there, and that there is nothing wrong with it. The problem we have found is that our government has become infiltrated by tyrants, just as George Washington warned as would happen if we did not stop the party bickering. He warned the nation would be destroyed by cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men that will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp to themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them up to unjust dominions. One method of assault may be to effect in the forms of the Constitution alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what could not be directly overthrown. So there is no doubt that George Washington was an inspired man with a discerning spirit, and that we are blessed to be able to call him the father of our nation. This man had insight. He understood the problem very clearly, and he foretold what would happen. And, of course, what they had done is they have come in with their constitution alterations in the form of amendments. We've got quite a few of problem amendments out there. And that is what they're using to try to overthrow us. But the bottom line, no matter how you put it, no matter what court you go into, the whole thing is a fraud. And when you call a fraud, it doesn't stand. They can go into their imaginary ship ride at sea in that courthouse what they want, but it doesn't change the fact that we're still there. It doesn't change the fact that that particular courthouse, in our case, is New York State. We're getting a lot of noise out there, Gerard. Is that you? Hello? Anyway, it doesn't change the fact that that courthouse is still there, in our case, New York State. Just because I walked past that bar didn't change anything. He can play his little boy games or the little girl games in their own little sandbox, but it doesn't mean anything to me. The fact of the matter is they're in New York and they're on New York soil. And when they violate an individual on the soil where I live, then they could be prosecuted for it. There's plenty of statutes to prosecute these people with. And remember, you know, statutes have a purpose. The statute is the policies and the procedures and the penalties and the controls upon the bureaucrats when they break the rules, when they go beyond their authority and violate people's unalienable rights. And then you can apply this is what they're written for. This is the purpose of statutes, codes, policies, procedures, and punishment for those who abuse their powers. It also controls the commercial realms of between the states. And even that is limited. That's limited. They've taken that to the extreme also. But we can fix it all. We just got to bring them back into reality. And that's how we could deal with it. And of course, what we're doing is going to bring them into reality. But until then, there are ways if you are in court and you have to deal with court, and, you know. But you got to bone up on the process and figure out how to do this. All right, with that, there's nobody with a hand up at this point. There's quite a few people still on the line. I'm going to go and if anybody's got any questions or anything, button to raise your hand. I think 201, I don't know, you still, 201-564, did you want to ask another question? No, maybe not. All right, let me go back to the top to see if anybody's got anything. 253-205, you got any questions? We've got quite a few callers on the line, but not many people with hands up. 205, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about? We're going back through the route, the list again. All right, I'll go to 717-405, 717-405. Did you have anything more you wanted to share or ask?
No, I don't, John. I'm just listening to the program. I wish some more people would call in, though.
Well, we got a lot of people called in, but not a lot of people with their hands up. But, you know, one of the problems with this board is when you finish with someone, there's no way to knock their hands down, and I guess we have to ask them to put their hands down. And that's a bad, design. Because this way, if we knock their hands down after we talk to them and they put their hands back up, we'd see that they have another question or would have wanted to go to the end of the line, you know? But, all right, I'll move to the next. Gerard, you got anything? You can pipe in here. 503-598. Did you have anything more? Did you have anything more? 507-309. All right.
I already spoke.
Okay. Did you want to bring it? We don't have any more callers at the point that want to pick up the mic. Do you want to share anything else? If I can get you unmuted again. Okay, what about 212-571? Otherwise, I'm going to have to figure out something else.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, this is Pat Sachs in New York.
Hi,
I just want.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that I did, in fact, sign up for Connecticut.
Connecticut? Right.
Yeah, if you could restore me as the state coordinator, I'd sure appreciate it.
Okay, you used the same name in there as the other?
Well, a different address and phone number.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, I'll do that. I spoke with some people from Connecticut. I've been speaking with people from Connecticut all weekend, and we're all set up for the 4th to go out there for a presentation. It'll be a 2-hour presentation, and then we're going to plan for the election out there mid-state, probably later in the month. We'll figure that out. So.
You know what time the meeting starts?
Goodness, at 7 o'clock. I'll post it up on the Internet. I don't know offhand. I'm going to have to look at my notes. I didn't post it yet. I think it's 7 o'clock.
Okay. And this is is a group sponsoring it? Is it a 912 group or a JBS group?
Yeah, I think it's a 912.
Okay, that's fine. That clarifies. I wanted to, is it okay with you if I publicize the meeting in my Connecticut groups?
Oh, everywhere, sure.
Okay.
Right, we're going to put it up on the board, and then we're going to push for the election in the following 2 weeks. Maybe we'll set something out there. And Connecticut's only got 8 counties, so we could do them pretty quickly. We can turn that state quick.
Yeah, but we've had a little trouble getting people from 3 of the counties. I mean, 2 were...
Right.
Rather sparsely populated, but I was kind of surprised that we had any trouble at all getting people from New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
So the meeting you're holding, actually, it's so close to New Haven, I'm really hoping that we'll get a
whole
lot of people.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get people. Yes, we're going to get people in quite a few counties, I think. So we'll be doing good, I think.
Yeah, that should be a big help then.
Okay.
Okay. All right, that was all. I just wanted to, update you and clarify about the meeting.
All right. Thank you.
All right, so thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Gerard, you got anything? Otherwise, I'll have to babble on here. All right, I guess we'll go on talking about, if you got anything, pipe in, or if there's any questions out there in the chat, let me know. Let's get back to talking a little bit about getting these counties elected. And, for those who don't know this yet, or maybe they haven't looked around the site enough to know, just follow the breadcrumb trail, so to speak. Right off the front page, go right to the jurist page. And again, this jurist page is so important because it introduces you to exactly what our plan is. I mean, and leads you through what it is that you need to really know at a minimum. And then, of course, you can go as far as you want with this. But everybody should have a minimum understanding of things. If you're going to become an administrator, it is extremely important that you really get involved in understanding common law, understanding the procedures and processes, and work on your skills of being able to talk to people, particularly judges. It takes a little while before you talk to certain people before you don't feel intimidated. I remember the first time I went to court, and I was extremely intimidated. And, you're going into a world you don't understand. But after you get a little comfortable there, you start to figure it out. And those who have experience should bring the people who don't have experience into the system to show them how things work. Anybody who's got court cases, everybody can use extra witnesses. So people should be volunteering to be witnesses for people who are in court cases and come in, learn how to write a paper or an affidavit, and also be there for that purpose to help out. But at the same time, you're going to see how things work in the court. There's an old, there's a saying in, you learn one, you watch one, you do one. I think that's how it goes. I forget. But anyway, you have to get the experience really by watching other people do these things. And then eventually you do, you learn one, you do one, you teach one. That's what it was. And that's a process, a circle or a cycle you need to go through. And once you get through that, you know, you'll see how easy it is. First of all, the judges should be intimidated by you. And if you have knowledge and you can express that knowledge, they will become intimidated by you. And so that's what we all need to realize we need to do. We're all on the job training. So it's okay to make mistakes. You know, it is what it is. We're human beings. But we have to go forward and do these things. We don't have a choice because right now we have really just a seriously defunct system doing all of this process. No matter what we do, even with our mistakes, we'll be a heck of a lot better than what they got going. And at least it'll be honest. And that's the key thing. And remember, whenever you make a mistake, there's always the opportunity to fix the mistake. You know, in my opinion, the most respected people are the people who are able to see their mistakes and actually fix it and acknowledge it and move on. Because that's what makes a real person, and that's what makes a decent person. So, anyway, we're all on the job training. Gerard, I see you got your mic open. You got anything?
Yeah, you closed it. I usually close it on my Skype. That's why I could, right. I didn't know you closed me.
Oh, yeah, I heard some noise.
No, it was answered.
All right. Well, you got anything you want to share? Because I'm kind of running out of steam, and we still have a half hour. So.
You know,
usually we don't get through all the callers.
Right. Right. Well. We certainly can talk about a lot of things.
You know, all right, well, I'm looking to see where to move on to. Yeah, there is a lot to talk about. Maybe we can expound on some more things. And, you know, we probably, you know, this thing with the computers, I don't have too much knowledge of it. I don't know if you can, express a little bit. What kind of system were they suggesting to use? Linux?
They're talking about downloading Linux, which is freeware. And the nice thing about Linux is it's freeware, so there's many different versions of it, and it's very hard to crack. And so, you know, they said it takes so much time to crack into one Linux system. You could crack into, you know, 10 Microsoft or 100 Microsoft, you know, Windows systems before you cracked into one Linux. So what he's suggesting, the easiest one that I saw, because I'm not, you know, I can navigate around a computer, but I'm certainly no computer guru by any stretch of the imagination, but I can follow directions, was to download the Linux and then run the Windows inside the Linux. And that seemed like the simplest one to do. They had another one. I read it a couple days ago. I don't remember exactly how that one worked, but that was a little different. And he also talked about doing all those things, what you're doing, by using different hard drives. You know how you're pulling one hard drive? He talked all about
right.
that. That book is pretty good if you read it. You know what I mean? And it's broken down into chapters. You don't even have, you know, you could actually just read the chapters on how to run your Windows inside of Linux and do it. You don't have to read the whole book, although I suggest that when you have time you do it, because it gives a lot of background material and he explains what you're doing and why and where it's going to. And it's very, very serious. People got to understand. If you have Windows XP, and many people still do, and even Windows 7 is going to be next, They're not gonna support it. And then what's going to happen is it's going to start crashing. He also talks about how Windows 8 was designed for the NSA, and if you got an NSA computer running right next to yours, if you got Windows 8. And the reason Windows 8 was so unstable and crashed so much is because they're sucking so much information out of it, it was making it unstable. So then they came out with 8.1, which is more stable. And he's also of the opinion that a lot of the stuff that's going to go wrong with our society is because they're pulling so much information out that they're going to screw up very important computers, including computers that are running infrastructure. And he says you're going to start seeing those computers crash, and that's going to affect us, and you'll end up with brownouts and blackouts and different things. So, you know, they're maniacs. They don't care. They want control. They've decided they want control of the whole world, you know. And so they're trying to data mine every little bit and bite in the whole world. And so what it's doing is it's screwing up the systems. And apparently, you know, when you're doing, you know, it's all designed around Microsoft. Bill Gates and the government and the New World Order are all hand in hand. You know, he built in, you know, back doors for the government years ago. And he also recommends an older computer. He says the older the computer is, the better, because they got some chips that they put in. And he said, really, even though they made this partnership back in 2000, and I think he said 7, he said, really, they didn't get going on it until 2012. You know, he says after 2012, you know, they pretty much had the that chip in there, and they're able to, like Windows 8, they can turn it on and off. You can have it off, they can turn it on. They can listen into the room. They can do all kinds of stuff with it, which is kind of scary. And
well, didn't
so
he say Windows XP was pretty good to have?
Oh, he said it was good. He said, but it's going to start crashing now. He said because there's going to be no support, and they're going to start, and there's going to be, you know, they're going to virus it out because they don't want you to have it, and so, you know, you're not going to be able to get updates. It's going to become unstable. So what you want to do is you don't want your XP to be running on Microsoft. What you want to do is you want to run your XP inside your Linux. So it doesn't see it. Microsoft doesn't see it. The NSA doesn't see it. You see? And I can't explain that to you because I only briefly
I did do a little researching on that. And what I found is that they have different programs that you can run in Linux. One particularly that seemed to be popular online was a program called Wine, W-I-N-E. And what you do is you install Wine inside of Linux, and then that becomes a virtual platform for Windows. So you install your Windows then operating system into Wine, or using Wine to make the install. And now, so you're actually got it like a virtual machine going. You know, I have Windows 7, and I had a lot of programs that were running on XP, and I didn't want to lose them, and some of them I couldn't replace. You know, there's nothing out there compatible to what the usage is for. And so Windows 7 had the ability to do the install with a virtual XP in it, which works fantastic. I really love it. And I got two screens, so sometimes I'll have the XP open on one and my Windows 7 on the other, and I can move in between them. You know, it's a virtual machine right inside the system, right inside the Windows 7. So that's pretty much the same way, I guess, the way Wine works is a program that allows you to have the Windows with inside of the Linux program. So once you install Linux, then you install Wine, and then you install the Windows operating system into the Wine. Now you can install any Windows operating, you know, any Windows software that works with Windows 7. And I was talking with someone about this because I would still want my XP. So you could do Windows 7 and XP inside that. So you have now Linux platform. You've got the Windows 7 platform. You got the XP platform. So you got three systems inside one. And as Gerard was saying, you then, I guess that Linux program, they kind of just don't see you. And you're not going to get lost with all these updates. I know I've shut the updates off on all of my systems, but what I find now is I get a lot of crashing, particularly with something with the browser. I forget what it is. The Flash Player or something. I get a lot of problems with that all the time.
Yeah, the Flash Player. I get the same thing because I don't update mine either. But you see, that's because they can see it.
Right.
If you had it inside of Linux, you wouldn't be having that problem.
Yeah,
so
that's what we're hoping
get
for.
You got to get it stabilized and then stick it in there with Wine. I remember he said use Wine. So I think that's really good advice, you know. And, of course, as things get worse, it's going to be more than good advice. It's going to be necessary, you know.
Right. Well, what we're going to try to do is I'm going to try to work through the book a little bit, or maybe we can find someone to work through the book, because there is a book. I think you gave me the book, didn't you, Gerard, with the video?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But anyway, I got the book, and it seems to be some instructional stuff. What we need to do is find someone who is savvy on computers that will go through the book and listen to the program, and then maybe guide us all. Maybe we'll create a page somewhere where we can help people to work through the system to start protecting their computers with the proper programming and lead them on how to do it. And at least put a program together enough that they can collect everything they need, put it together, and maybe go down to a place where they have computer guys that are experts in this stuff, and that can install all this stuff for you. And that's the key.
He did give the names of places that do it and prices even, and it was very reasonable. He said you can get this whole thing, and he said, you know, they'll pull it all together and they'll load it in, and you know, some of it is free. Well, I think he said it was like $110, you know, which is like, you know, that's not bad.
Well, I called up one of these places, Best Buy. I called Best Buy up, and I spoke with the quote-unquote Geek Squad, and they told me that they would install the system for something like $78. So, you know, I would have to supply the software. So we'll have to figure that out, and we'll you know, maybe we can get this guy to come on and talk to us for a half hour or something. But in any event, we'll figure this out. We'll try to create a page so people can go and learn and figure this out. Maybe we can get a couple of techs that'll be available to answer questions, you know, once a week concerning people wanting to do this. The other thing is we've been talking a little bit about, and we've got to move forward on this one, and that is really the shortwave radio. Every state, there should be one shortwave radio. You know, it doesn't have to be the state coordinator, but it can be. But the people in the state should come together and throw a few bucks apiece, and you can buy a real nice system. So someplace in your state, you have a really good, a shortwave radio. And then everyone else, anybody who wants one, especially the county leaders, or county administrators, shall I call them, because eventually we're going to change the name from county organizers to county administrators, because that's what we really are heading for, is to become administrators for the grand jury. But all of us, at least one of us in each county, should have a handheld radio that is able to make contact with that state shortwave. And then, of course, we have one in each state, and we can get communications going, and we can continue programming, talking, communicating, and doing whatever we have to do should the Internet go down. But until then, I don't think that they're looking necessarily to take the Internet down. I think they're trying to get around that. And by getting the back doors into the computers and controlling your computers and turning them into bricks, as this guy said, that's a lot more efficient and easier for them. Well, it's better for them so that they can keep the Internet up, because I think they want to continue to use the Internet, of course, but they want to get us off of it. So anyway, we have to get one step ahead of them, and these are some of the things we do want to kind of put together at some point soon, the sooner the better. But the most important thing right now is for everyone to get their counties, get the election going in their county to constitute a common law grand jury and start getting together and boning up and preparing to file these papers at some point when you decide to go forward. Getting a lot of interference.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something else, Gerard?
Yeah, I can't believe some people are asking what this conversation has to do with common law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty bad. Like, you know,
well, it's communications. We got to keep communicating.
Well, first of all, when you're doing this common law, you know, they're going to want to target us on the communications. That's the easiest thing for them to do. If we can't communicate, we're dead. This thing was born on the Internet, and it's going to live or die on the Internet. You know what I mean? I mean, until, you know, until the counties and everything get established. But, you know, in order to be a national thing, you need the Internet. So it's very important that we, like you said, we stay a step ahead of them. I mean, what does storing food have to do with common law? You know, we are those people who are awake, and by that whatever you want to call it, virtue, it's up to us to be prepared, like the Boy Scout thing, be prepared. How are you going to function if you don't have food stored? I mean, you know, you're going to go to a common law grand jury when you're worried about eating? That's why they want to shut the economy down, because they know that all this stuff stops when people are too busy looking for their next meal. So we have to be proactive in everything we do, you know. And I mean, look, China has the internet, but they control it. So guess what? This government took a lesson from them. They very much censor their internet, and America is going to start doing the same thing. So that's where we're at. So this certainly has plenty to do with that. Anyway.
And is there anybody in the text chat that has a question? I don't know if you've been watching the text chat.
John, I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone raising my hand by pushing 1. KK. I don't know who KK is.
Oh, okay. Tell us what the first digits of the number. What area code are they in? Because I can't tell anymore.
There's so many people on there, and you got to scroll this thing, and it's like.
Yeah, this is a very poor system.
No,
we've got to talk
about it. It doesn't go in the order.
Oh, I think I see it coming through. 828. Is that you? 828 284. Did I find you?
No, this is Jay.
Jay, how you doing? I saw you were pumping your hand up and down.
Yeah. I've been trying to talk to you about this, what you've been talking about this Lennox.
Lennox stuff.
And this guy was on our conference call, on the collective consciousness call, on TalkShoe through the American Underground Network, AUN, and it's episode 183. It was on 2/13 of 2014. And anybody
can we posted it. We downloaded it and we posted it, and it's up on our page right now. If you click on news, and we're going to move this over to the jurist page shortly, the document page. But right now, if you click on news and you scroll down to, Wednesday, February 19, 2004, a must-listen to American Underground Network recording. So that's it right there.
Okay, cool. And then I also wanted to ask you, are you going to put out a press release after you constitute all your counties?
Yeah, we're going to start doing something with local papers. And
I sent one of the older press releases, the Drudge Report, today. So...
Okay.
If there's a new press release, I'll forward that on to Drudge Report too.
Well, we do.
Okay.
Hang on, I was eating a donut here. I thought you were going to talk longer. We do have a press release that should go out to as many places as possible, and that is dated February 20th, It talks about the new, you know, the Fox News interview we had, but it's the NLA answer to the ADL press release. And that gives a full answer, you know, blow by blow, what they said and what we said. So that's probably a good one to send out to the news.
Okay. And then I do have a reason why my county can't be constituted by the end of the week.
Uh-oh. I'm going to have to mute you, but go ahead.
You know what it is. I drive truck, and I'm not there. But that,
come on, you can
reason.
Do that from the road. You know you can. Between
but that
years,
is
man.
You see,
well,
you can't
look
any
at,
reason.
Look at, all you got to do, all you got to do is schedule yourself right. So you know when you're going to be passing through your county, and you stop for dinner someplace, and you get the date and get everything up and get all the information out. You could do that right from your truck. And then when you come for your dinner, arrangement there where you're going to have the constituting of the county, of the grand jury, you stop for dinner and do it. Only takes a half hour.
Yeah. but it can be done by the end of the week. So that is an excuse. That is one reason. I keep holding my hand up.
I'll give you
me,
10 cause... days. You got 10 days.
I'm not going to be home within 10 days.
He's a rambling man.
Yeah.
Hey, 979 wants to talk. Is that UKK 979? I unmuted him. I just want to make sure it is.
How
okay.
you doing?
Well,
is that KJ?
I got you unmuted.
John?
Yeah, KJ?
Can you hear me, John?
I can hear you.
Hi, I am KK. I'm the one that told Jim Bertel about you. And you were on his broadcast twice.
All right.
And I listen to every show. I am signed up. And nothing's happening in Texas where I live. And I think it's such a poor showing. And I live in a very, very tiny county. I really don't know anybody. And my church group is in the other county that listen to your calls.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nobody there either interested so far. So,
well, Texas has been a little bit behind the eight ball. They're one of the last states to really get involved. We do have 91 members in Texas, but we also have 254 counties. And I'm not sure whether we have a Texas organizer. Texas obviously
is
the coordinator.
Joe is wonderful, but it's just nobody is responding.
Well, look at... I want to tell you what. Texas, about a month ago, I think I can say, maybe a little more, maybe 2 months ago, but a month ago or 2 months, there was nobody in Texas. Just a couple of months ago, there was nobody there. Now you got 91 people, so something is happening. And
you
know what?
I called, you know, when I joined, I basically started looking at names. I didn't understand what a county organizer. I just started calling people. There were people on there that didn't even have a computer, didn't even have a car. And they're, like, still signed up. And I started asking them questions. Do you go to the Monday meeting like I'm trying to do? Because I was trying to get help. And, you know, it's is that okay to do? I mean,
you should be calling people
up. I'm not getting
a
call. Nobody, you know, I've got contact with Joe now. And it's a pretty poor showing, like she said in an email today.
Well,
but
look it. Here's what you got to do.
What would you do?
I'll tell you what I already did do, okay? Look, when we started New York, we started getting going. We jumped right in the water. When we decided to go do it, we did it, and we tried to be a good example. We decided on one Monday that we were going to go forward with this thing, and I set a meeting for Sunday. It was as soon as I could set it for the group in my county. And we met the first time, which we really don't need to do, but we did it this way. We had about five or six people show up, and we were just discussing about running the election. It was the first election we were going to do, and so on. We set
did
it for
you
a
talk
week
to
later.
On the phone or did you send them emails?
Oh, I don't bother with emails. I call people up. Emails are good support. I do send out emails, but I'm not relying on emails to get work done. I rely on a phone call and a commitment on the other end of that phone call.
But what if you don't know anybody in your county you live in?
Well, you're sharing something that is, that you're sharing a something together that's important.
Grocery stores
so.
And everywhere you go and hand out the flyer with just my initials
you could do
on the
that.
Back.
You
is that
can
all
do
right?
that, but you can
huh?
do that. But let me,
did you
can
say
do
yes
that.
Or don't do that?
You could do that, but let me explain a different way to do things.
Okay.
This is what we did, okay? So we got the first meeting going. Okay, we had a couple of active counties, Orange County in particular. They followed right behind us. Within 2 weeks, they did the same thing. We got the election going and done, and we got our feet wet, and we said, wow, that was easy. And so then what we did is I started to make the contacts. We already had a lot of contacts through the state, so I started working south of Dutchess County, and we started
mm-hmm.
calling people and getting them. And they had their toes in the water, but we had to walk behind them and push them in the water. And that's what we did. You know, if we got to help you find a place, we'll make some calls, we'll help you find a place, and you start moving.
I'm not as knowledgeable yet. I'm studying. I have a lot of Bible doctrine, years and years, and the principles come naturally, but I'm really not educated. I listen and listen and listen, but if I wait till I'm educated, it's too late. I think I should jump in.
Absolutely. Look,
right
now...
Because you've got the literature,
Right
and
now
I'm
is
copying
the time.
The book and handing that out to people I do know, that's okay, right?
Absolutely. Look, okay. Now is the time to organize. Now is the time to study. Now is the time to get these grand juries constituted. It may not be the time to file them yet, but
right,
when you come together
that,
and
yeah.
you file them later, but get them constituted. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Within no time.
Like you described on the show very, very clearly tonight, right? You meet, you do the forms that are on the Internet, which my state coordinator knows how to do. She's in a county near me. I talk to her. So she would come and help me do this, probably,
well,
since she's 40 miles away.
Yeah, if she's close, I don't see why she wouldn't.
Oh,
I'd go anywhere.
Yeah, we're close.
Yeah, I'd go anywhere in the state. There's a lot of people in New York that'll go anywhere
yeah.
in the state to do what we have to do. And
well,
within
I was
2 months...
I excited when I heard you on Drake again, because that's where I heard you the first time and then told everybody, and I just sort of, you know, I just right away jumped in because you made so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are so many people that really are responding. They just don't know what and how to do it, waiting and waiting, that listen to you on Dr. Jim's, because he thought it was fabulous. And I
mm-hmm.
connected with one of the county coordinators in Arkansas next to Jim's County, and he's helping me all the way.
Well, you
he's
see,
wonderful.
You got it moving. There you go. You're doing
yeah,
the right
he's
thing.
Yeah, helping me a
Look
lot.
It.
So it's okay if I get help from a coordinator in another state if we're friends,
of course.
Right?
It's one person at a time, one county at a time, one people
okay.
at a time, and if before you know you got five people doing it, then you got 20 people, then you got 100 people, then you got 1,000 people. See?
Well, I just think, John, you and Gerard are doing a fantastic job, and just keep up the good work, and we're all praying for your health and your stamina and everything, and I know we can do this because God's behind what you're doing. There's no doubt in my mind it's got to go.
Yeah, we appreciate that, and we believe the same thing. So,
yeah, there's no way. This is so unbelievably put together right. That's why I think Drake is excited now. You really got
mm-hmm.
Drake excited, I think.
Great,
and,
great.
And
yeah, we're on his show
Kent,
twice.
Kent, you've got Riley. His name is not Riley. On the thing you've got up, his
uh-huh.
name is Drake Kent, K-E-N-T.
Oh, K-E-N-T.
Not
okay,
Riley, it's Joyce Riley, but Drake Kent. Nobody knows who that is otherwise.
Okay,
that
I will
That would be important
that.
To change.
Right.
Or
Will
you could
do.
Put Cosmic Voice. That would even be maybe suitable. I don't know. But
okay.
thank you so much for letting me ask you questions. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm going to get
and,
going.
And keep on
so
coming and keep on
Monday,
moving.
Next Monday, I'm
going to
get something going somehow.
That's what we got to do.
Thank
so,
you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, we have 979.
Never ask.
Who is? Oh,
don't
is that you, Jay? What was that, Jay? Jay? Did we lose Jay? I hit a button. You hit a button. Jay, flip your hand if you want to talk, because I don't know where you're at. I think I saw it, 828. No, stay still. Stay still. Okay. 828-284,
yep.
Is that Jay? Okay, finally got you
yep.
back.
Yep, and I was just going to say, don't ever ask for permission to act.
That's right. I agree. You know, she already had it figured out. She just didn't realize it yet. She's already doing what has to be done. You know, we don't have to see a lot of big things happening when we're doing little things. But believe me, if there's enough of us people doing little things, all of a sudden you're going to turn around and say, wow, we've done some big things. You see, it's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. And I want to tell you, again, we have thousands of people across the nation.
I went to New Orleans to save animals, and I wasted a week asking permission.
There you
finally
go.
Finally, I just went.
There you go. Just do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Well, that is the key to the whole thing, and just go forward and do it. And remember, you know, when you're out there working and trying to get things built up, remember there's 1,000 other people doing the very same thing. And with that in mind, you know, we will get this thing done. I can't tell you happy I am on seeing how fast this is happening. I mean, I wished it could have had it happen faster. I put a lot upon myself for goals, and I work real hard, and I never achieve them, but they do get achieved. The point is, not as fast as I'd like them to get achieved. But I'll tell you, I'm really pleased on the way we're moving across this nation, and we're still networking, and that's the good thing about this. We're networking. And so we have people who are really solid and interested, and we don't have too much of the enemy to deal with yet. So we're in a good place. But with that, we're about to end this program. We've got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank everyone for showing up this evening and make sure we get the word out. All of the leaders, all of the organizers, all of the coordinators, they should be coming to this meeting every single Monday night. This is the most important thing we can do, is get together, share what is going on, and talk and communicate and teach each other. So Lord willing, we'll see you all next Monday. God bless everyone. Thanks again. Good night.